Hey, let's start the show.
It's September 20th, 2012. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, Norman Chan.
Hello.
Pile of envelopes over there. Norm, how you doing?
I'm multitasking. I'm talking onto the podcast, but I'm not using a tablet.
So instead of sitting here and just stroking four pieces of electronics at once.
Which I like to do on my spare time.
You do that all the time.
On my spare time.
While stuffing envelopes.
Hey, you haven't been introduced yet. Quiet, you.
Whoa.
Hey, I learned that there are rules
about
this.
Hey, Gary. How you doing? Welcome, Gary, to the podcast.
Hey, Gary, thanks for coming by. Gary Witt is here.
Yeah, there you go.
How you doing, Gary?
Don't speak till I'm authorized.
Well, I you know, when I was on the Bombcast a few weeks ago, I learned that that's a thing. I had no idea that that was the podcasting rules, that you can't speak until you're introduced to the show. Ryan Davis, I almost got shit thrown at me. It was real bad.
So I want to explain what I'm doing right now.
I got to say, Norm, I know Tested probably doesn't pay that well, but I never thought you'd have to get a second job. It's pretty
envelope stuffer.
Yeah, I've applied for my own internship.
Next podcast will be telemarketing.
And you know what? I got the job.
Good for you.
I got the job. Will decided to announce on his last jar time.
Jars allowed. Thank you very much.
No jars allowed. That we will be.
We do not
mailing.
Have jars on that show.
Sure.
It's mugs for
Mason
life.
Mason
mugs,
glassware with handles. That we are mailing our excess supply of. Tested stickers.
Oh, the old style logo.
It's a
collector's item now.
Yes, vintage. If you mail a self-addressed stamp envelope.
Yes.
To our address, which we will announce at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Are you going to make him listen to the whole thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's monstrous.
I personally, because Will will not have nothing to do with touching envelopes.
This is a Norman Chan initiative, and I wanted you to enjoy it yourself.
Will does not want to spend his time mailing out. It's appreciating the fans.
I don't want to have to lick all those envelopes. I'll be perfectly honest.
I will lick as many envelopes
as
needed to entertain the fans. Until we run out of stickers. This first batch, I think 22 envelopes came in. Self-addressed stamped envelope, first of all, with postage.
Yep.
You get 3 stickers. All 22 you guys get.
Now, that's done. Three stickers is over.
First wave, 3 stickers.
Yeah.
Next wave, make it 2 stickers.
What about 1.5? Can we do 1.5?
No, I'm not going to tear stickers in half.
Okay.
You get 2 stickers. Third wave, you get 1 sticker plus every sticker that you send me.
You get 1 more sticker?
You get 1 more sticker.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to trade stickers.
Any kind of sticker?
Yeah, I want to see what stickers you can find.
Yeah,
send me a sticker, you get a sticker.
How does this work for – I don't know how international people get stamps that work in the United States. I don't know about that. There's a forum thread about it. You guys should work it out amongst yourselves.
I have not mailed out an actual envelope in maybe 5 years. So this is very exciting for me. I have not seen postage in maybe 2 years.
Yeah, it's weird doing this. It's like using a rotary dial phone.
I'm like there's different types of envelopes.
Skills you've forgotten.
Some of these have landlord. How do you pay your rent on your mortgage online?
How do I pay my mortgage?
I guess you do pay your mortgage online.
Of course online.
Yeah. We pay our mortgage online.
Yeah.
You do occasionally still have to put things in an envelope.
I haven't put anything in an envelope in a long time.
No, I still do it occasionally. There's
maybe
a
FedEx package,
avoid it.
Maybe a big parcel. Some of these have 2 sticker or 2 stamps on them, and some have 1. I don't know why.
Now you don't think putting 3 stickers is going to make these overweight and make them not get to their intended destination, do you?
These are not heavy stickers.
Okay,
they are great quality stickers, but they are not heavy.
I have one on the back of my car. I quite like the sticker. That's what you're doing during the show and talking about technology and science and things. Gary, what are you doing today?
I'm, happy to be here as always. Podcasting gets me out of the house.
So
some fresh air.
So you've been off for a few, several weeks. I mean, you were back a little bit and then off again.
And it's been, as much as, I'm glad for the reason that I've been away working on interesting projects. It sucks that I missed some of the more interesting weeks in tech. I missed the Kindle discussion. There was some good stuff there. Obviously missed the big iPhone 5 reveal
Shocking.
Last week. I know.
Yes.
Did you even watch the keynote or get a chance?
I did. I watched it. I wasn't able to watch it when it was going on. But when I eventually got home from work, I was able to I queued it up and I did it in very Apple style. I put it on my MacBook.
Did you turn on the lights?
Airplayed it onto my big screen TV.
Did you invite a bunch of friends over, have their MacBooks out,
yeah,
to live
vlog
it?
It was just like being there. And I kvetched all the way through.
So you were working on your episode of The Walking Dead, the one that you wrote.
Yeah.
And this was, I think, your first time through like a game crunch mode situation, right?
Yeah, it's been, you know, as someone who was a games journalist for many years, it's very different being on the other side, on the outside.
Do they heckle you over there for your games journalism, or is
No, they're very nice people.
Okay.
And I've been a games journalist for many years. It's almost like, you know, people have forgotten, so... no, it was, you know, game crunch is no joke.
And so Telltale, because they release so many games, so many episodes,
yeah.
Do they do this all the time, or are they a more sane kind of crunch mode, do you think?
I think it's cyclical like anything else.
Okay.
You know, when I was first there, you know, they weren't yet crunching.
You should get
towards
a knife,
the end,
Norm.
They were very much crunchy.
I'm doing this under the table.
No, it's making a lot of
noise.
I can
hear all the crinkles.
People are going to really
complain.
Why don't
you do that later? Because I feel like we don't have your full attention either.
Well, we never have his full attention.
We never do.
Absolutely listening.
You go get the knife off of my desk so that there's no crunkling noise. I don't want people to complain.
So you're watching the keynote.
Actually, we had moved on, but see, that's how much attention you're
paying. Point made.
No, but we should get back to it. We talked about The Walking Dead a lot, but I watched the keynote. And, you know, as we jump into the iPhone 5 and iOS 6 discussion a little bit today, because I'm sure there'll be some, I'll let you know my thoughts.
Okay.
Don't worry, loyal, tested fans.
You have
you'll
thoughts.
You'll get to hear what I think.
you have thought things
That's
about
why
iOS 6.
I have had thoughts, deep thoughts.
Good.
And I will impart them to you.
So iOS 6 is out.
Yes.
Came out yesterday.
Yeah.
We all, except for Norm, I think, downloaded it.
Yeah,
I haven't
downloaded
it on my iPad
yet.
Because... I'm going to get it no matter what on the iPhone 5.
I know, but don't you want it now to have the freshness?
No, I want a phone that has Google Maps and YouTube the way it was meant to be.
Oh, I see. Now you're already getting into the controversies.
Well, so let's run down the controversies. There are two huge controversies. I think the lesser one is YouTube, which has been partially ameliorated. Obviously, Google and Apple.
Very partially ameliorated.
Only partially.
Because on the iPad, there is no iPad YouTube app.
Well, that was why I said partially, yeah.
But what I discovered is if you use the iPhone YouTube app in iPad on the Retina version and you blow it up full screen, the video that plays in player
still looks good.
Is still the full resolution.
Well, that's good.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's no Apple provided YouTube app in iOS 6.
Even within the Google provided YouTube app, you cannot AirPlay.
You can only you can through mirroring, but it's not
only mirroring.
Same. Yeah.
But you can AirPlay if you use the browser-based embedded player.
HTML5.
HTML5 player. That will AirPlay just fine.
One of the things I noticed that's weird, though, is when you use Chrome on the iPad, it tries to give you the Flash player and says you need to download Flash.
Oh, my God.
So that was weird. I don't know what's up with
so
that.
So this is the reason, or at least one of the reasons why this has been a kind of controversial update so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time that Apple's released a version of iOS that is actually not a pretty market improvement in a lot of ways. A lot of the features that they rolled out...
Well, it isn't. I think in a lot of little ways it is, but
it's
there
the
are
first
some really
one that
big...
They took steps back.
There's a couple of very big noticeable changes that people have very negative views on.
Well, and a lot
and
of the
stuff... rightly so.
And a lot of the stuff that they've added is literally just stuff that they're catching up with Windows Phone or
let's
Android
talk about
or
Maps. First.
So yeah, Maps is the big deal.
Why is there no YouTube, first of all?
Brad Shoemaker has already christened this map gate. It may already be
a gate.
Don't
put hyphen gate after things.
Why?
Because it's
but that's part of the American
it's
vernacular.
A terrible cliche.
No, it's great.
It's the laziest kind of naming convention.
Map gate.
Lions and tigers and maps. Oh my.
Yeah, exactly. So YouTube they pulled because Google wants to put ads on the YouTube app on iOS,
well,
obviously.
We don't know who pulled it.
Right. The Google and Apple relationship is at this point over. The
clearly,
honeymoon
clearly
is done.
They are at war.
5 years.
It's open war between Apple
and
Google.
There's still Gmail when you set up mail and all that. You know, there's still.
You know, 5 years just happened to be the amount of time that Steve Jobs said the iPhone, original iPhone, was ahead of all the competition.
Interesting.
Well, and he may have been right.
Dun, dun, dun. So YouTube's gone. YouTube is a big deal for a lot of people. I think that ultimately that'll work itself out.
But a lot of people that aren't, you know, reading up on all the tech stuff are just going to update to iOS 6 and go, wait, where did my YouTube app?
Because your homepage just gets home screen. It's realigned.
Yeah, that app, that little TV set that used to be YouTube app.
I haven't
had
the YouTube app on my home screen in years. So,
but again, it's a relatively easy fix. Go to the app store, download it, and there's an app that's in some ways better than the old one, in some ways not as good. But Maps is really the real.
The thing that people are going to upgrade to, because the thing is, it's an in-phone upgrade now. You just hit the button on your phone, it updates from iOS 5.
And it was pretty smooth update for me.
Yeah, it was easy.
All over the air.
Did you back up?
My phone regularly backs up anyway.
No. But so I did the beta. I was using the beta, so I had a different upgrade process. I couldn't do the over-the-air upgrade. When you guys were doing OTA upgrades.
Yes.
Did it say, hey, do you need to back up your phone first and then you restore it from the new phone, or it just pops back up just like you left it?
It pops back up just like you left it.
You know, I had a very recent backup, so it was fine.
But you don't get the set up a new iPad or set up a new iPhone dialogue at the beginning.
No. Oh, no, there are some.
No, you do. You have to go through some steps. You have to re-put your password, and it's kind of annoying. You have to redo some of those steps.
There are some features that they need to add steps on, like tying iMessages to multiple email accounts.
Right.
And stuff.
Right.
That all needs
which you
to
could do before.
Up. Right. Right. But there are some front-facing steps before you can actually get back to your home screen.
Okay.
But you don't need to back up.
But yeah, so when I was doing it, I had to back up and then restore a backup as if it was a new device. Okay. Just good to know. The thing that people are going to hit when they turn this on the first time is that they're going to go to Maps and it's changed and it has a couple of new features of marginal value, one of pretty good value, and then there's a bunch of shit that's just really bad.
So, and again, just for people that may not be following this, basically Apple, which had been using Google's services data. And Maps, and their third-party Maps app as their default inbuilt app, have now thrown that away and put a lot of resources into building their own mapping service and their own maps.
They built their own mapping
map app.
The
data is from TomTom and three other companies. They bought two or three companies that have mapping expertise that may or may not be used in the app. But the data is specifically from TomTom, like the map data
and the directional data.
And the directional data,
right,
and
but
the
all
nav.
The, all the art and the 3D that's stuff, all, that's all Apple.
Yes, it's their interpretation of somebody else's data.
And it's hard to know. So the big plus, which they hadn't had before, is turn-by-turn directions.
Yes.
Which if you have a 4S or above, it doesn't go back.
I think it's a 4S,
It doesn't go back as far as the 4. I think I'm right in saying that. You now have turn-by-turn directions, which is something that Android and Google rightly have been able to hold over Apple for a long time.
So
they have
it
baked into – right.
On Android.
Right. But Apple clearly needed to try to close that gap.
Yeah. So just so people understand the difference between turn-by-turn and normal nav, on the iPhone previously, it would say, here's your directions to get to this place. It's a list of printed directions like you would get from AAA or something
But you would have to manually kind of click through the steps.
And you had to step through. With turn-by-turn, it says, when you get close to a transition, it says, turn right in 300 meters.
It's like the GPS you have in your car already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the Android one is among the best I've ever used. Standalone, set top, whatever. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It gives you notifications that you're getting ready to turn at pretty much exactly the right time for you to make a safe transition over.
Right.
It's not annoyingly spammy.
Right.
It's smart about like if you're coming up to the 101-280 intersection in San Francisco, if your route stays on 280, it doesn't notify you that you need to stay on 280. It just assumes you're going to keep going on the same road unless it tells you otherwise.
Yep.
The TomTom data, which is what's in the current apps, the new Apple nav, is very, very talky. So it says your turn's coming up in 2 miles. I don't fucking care about a turn coming up in 2 miles, because if I'm driving in a downtown congested area like San Francisco, it's going to constantly be talking to me, right? It gives you too many prompts for the turns, which seems like it's not really that big a deal until you're in a congested, you know, high density area.
Right.
And it's also – it turns out that the data is not real smart. It's not real smart about the way it picks things up. For example, the example that Anil Dash gave on his blog post, which was linked all over yesterday in the New York Times this morning – basically said, if I'm standing in Manhattan and I search for Lexington Avenue, I more than likely want Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, not Lexington Avenue in Brooklyn. But because B comes before M, Lexington Avenue in Brooklyn comes up first.
There's a lot of things they're going to have to
Yeah, there's
a lot of bugs they're going to have to fix.
There's also big problems with kind of fuzzy logic on searches. So if you search for so that sandwich place that we used to go to over in North Beach, what was it called?
Giordano Brothers.
Giordano Brothers. So if you search for Giordano Brothers, it comes up. If you search for Giordano Bros, which is what's on the sign, you know, the abbreviation for mm-hmm. brothers, mm-hmm. no results.
Ooh.
So stuff like that.
Well, look, I mean, and this isn't even the biggest problem. Like, clearly, I mean, this is a brand new product. It's going to take a while for it to catch up to where Android navigation is right now.
I mean, they had a product that was better than this before, though.
So the problem is they've swapped out their own maps for Google's maps, which are not as good as Google's maps because Google has far superior mapping.
Lots of
resources.
Data, and they're good at the fuzzy logic and all that.
And there
stuff
are some very, very significant things that you lose now. So Apple's 3D panorama flyover type mode is very pretty and very gimmicky, and I'm sure it will sell a lot of phones, but it's not really very practical.
No,
I've never used Google Earth to look something up.
It is nowhere near as practical as Street View, which is now gone because that was part of Google's service.
Right.
Street View is very useful. You could like, this is what I should be seeing when I'm actually at that location.
Right. Yeah. How many parking spots are around that street? You can check that out.
So that's going to be a problem. And then, of course, the big thing of all is a lot of people really found very useful the public transit and walking directions that were.
Well, so walking directions are still there.
Okay.
Bike directions are gone. Public transit's gone.
But public transit was great. It would tell you when the next bus was coming, the routes you would take, exactly where to change stops, and things like that. And that's now all gone.
In cities internationally where they rely more on public transit, like in Japan, crazy subway system.
Right.
That was more people use that than driving directions.
So the lack of baked in transit is the essence of Mapsgate.
That is the core. I think bad directions are bad too. I think giving bad directions when you're used to having good directions is fundamentally really, really
bad. And
there's
a poor argument being made online right now that because Apple has, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of iOS users using new maps when iOS 6 comes out or when iPhone 5 comes out, that over time their data will catch up to Google's data because of feedback.
Right.
That I don't think is still on desktop use Google Maps.
I read a couple of opinion pieces from very kind of Apple-centric, Apple-friendly sites saying that what Apple is essentially doing with iOS 6 is really kind of laying a new foundation for the future and, putting the foundation of maps down and things like that is all how they're going to build for the future. But right now, it looks kind of like how Siri looked at first and maybe still does now, which is like, I understand why you wanted to put this out there, but it's not really ready for prime time yet.
But the difference is Siri is something that is it's not essential. Siri is 100% non-essential.
But Maps is it's not a luxury, it's a utility.
And Siri is something that can get better over time because the more voices they record, the more data they collect, the better Siri will get.
Well,
that's fine because it's not essential. Like you said, Maps is an absolute utility. When I was in Portland this weekend, and because Apple has not allowed third-party competition with built-in apps, there's no fucking Maps alternatives.
Right.
So when I was in Portland this weekend trying to find out a bus schedule, the place that it kept sending me was maps.google.com in the browser, which was a terrible, terrible experience.
Well, so I think the hope is that in the same way that YouTube has popped up a la carte in the App Store, that Google's Maps app will come back in the App Store and Apple will allow that and people can just go back to using the maps that they liked the old-fashioned way.
Right now, somebody at Google is sitting there giggling their asses off.
Well, Danny Sullivan from Search Engine Land reached out to Google, and Google put out a very vague and generic response saying that they want their maps on all devices, but have not committed to releasing a Maps.
Oh, it's sitting there. It's ready to go.
Well, who knows? Even if it follows all the App Store guidelines, whether it will actually be approved.
I mean, clearly I think Apple's maps over time will get better. I'm sure there are people at Apple right now building out the maps every single day. But for right now at launch, and this is the biggest problem, their big flagship feature for iOS 6 is actually a downgrade in many ways from what was in iOS 5.
It looks pretty, works bad.
That's a big perception
problem
for Apple.
Let's say someone who is not going to get a new Apple product, new iPhone 5, new iPod Touch, has iOS 5 now on either iPhone 4 or 4S or a 4th gen iPod Touch. Upgrade?
Well, to answer that question, I've actually seen quite a few people on the forums and on Twitter who have upgraded asking how to revert back.
You can't unless you saved your hashes beforehand.
Right. So people are stuck with it.
Hold off.
Hold off
on updating.
Here's the thing.
Well, if you like... Again, there's no blank answer. You've got to look at what you use and what features you like. If there are features in iOS 6 that you really feel like you would like, if you're like me, where you rarely take public transport, but you feel like the turn-by-turn directions would be useful. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, it's an upgrade. But for many people who have different priorities and take the bus more often,
assuming
and don't
it
use
takes
a
you to the right place.
Well, yeah, I'm going to try that. It can't be worse than the Garmin I've got right now. Holy shit.
Well, but the Garmin you have right now, you put the address that you know where you're going,
yeah,
and it'll take you there. This, you're going to search for the name of the place, probably, and it may or may not take you there.
Well, that's, so different expectations. That's what my Garmin is like.
Okay. So for me, the bigger question here is, this is a huge, high-profile piece of software Apple's developed from scratch,
yeah,
or with help from partners and acquired some stuff as well. It's not very good. I mean, it's very pretty, but it's not very good.
Every iOS update has had some – the feature set has basically people said, this is a big leap forward. And this one is kind of like, it kind of is in some ways, but not in others. It's more of kind of a push. It's like, people are less excited about this one.
I just wonder if it's getting to the point – I mean, I talked to a friend yesterday morning on Twitter who is having trouble figuring out why his VIP list in Mail, which is a great feature, why they weren't syncing between his iPad and his iPhone and his Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out after a little bit of experimentation, we realized it was because you had to sync contacts over iCloud. Not all of them. You just had to have it turned on because that information was conveyed across that channel.
Right.
And if you didn't have that turned on all the devices, then they wouldn't all see contacts.
That's a reasonable kind of expectation.
Well, yes, it's a reasonable expectation, but it's not documented anywhere. And the only way we figured it out was by trial and error.
Well, there's a lot of assumption then of how Apple products should work. Like, my Mail clients are not synced just because I set up a Mail client on –
Well, they
iPad.
Explicitly say VIP lists are synced across devices, just like your favorites are.
Well,
so
that should
I mean,
be documented then.
The point is, there's just like it's become this big unwieldy OS when it used to be very lean and stripped down.
It's more like a computer.
It is more like a computer, but they're still treating it like it's a kind of a dumber device, and you can only do that for so long. Right now, there needs to be a best practices guide to setting up iOS that isn't, hey, just only use Apple services, because people use Gmail and Yahoo Mail and corporate email and all that. And if you don't know what you're doing when you set that stuff up right, it's not gonna work right.
I like to think that, so far as the maps are concerned, that Apple will be looking at the response to this and will move quickly to do something about it. Because I feel like they have to.
They've been really bad about updating core apps mid-cycle.
There's no point putting a ton of resources into, you know, trying to build a new Maps app that will put you on a level footing with Google if, in fact, it's, for the time being, still inferior and people are just complaining about it.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, typically they haven't updated that kind of app aside from point releases.
Well, like not
– And but, a lot of but, it can happen but, on the server
but,
side
but
in
Maps,
fairness.
But Maps is exactly the kind of app that has to evolve, right?
Well, the data will change on the back end and the search stuff can change. But I doubt that they'll push updates to the Maps app short of a point release for iOS.
I think you will see at some point in the near future a big update that has the transit stuff, because too many people are complaining about it for them not to respond.
Well, no, their response to the transit stuff is, hey, go build apps that do this.
Today it is. I think it will change.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, here's my macro feeling on iOS 6 is that the reason I say it's kind of a mixed bag is
– Wow.
I know you don't like
it's
that.
A mixed bag? Does it feel good in your hand, Gary?
Is that
– Is it sexy?
Is that in many – It's actually a good update in all the little minor, teeny tiny little granular things that add up to a better experience.
You're talking about like do not disturb,
like
and
do
the
not disturb,
password
like,
requirement,
not need to type in your password to update an app. Simple things like the Bluetooth switch being right on the front page of settings, not having to drill down like
three
menus
nice.
And
to it.
Small little delightful things. You notice when you pull down to refresh email, you get
a little animated chewing gum.
Whoop.
As I was driving my car off of the pier this morning, I was really glad that the mail icon was
nice
blinky.
Little fit and finish things like that. Also, like really cool things like, let's say, for example, there's a link to an app store in a email.
And just to be clear, Bluetooth still isn't a toggle. It's just a one – you go
should,
one menu
it,
deep.
It
instead
should be,
of,
it should be a toggle. I don't know why it isn't. But like in the old days – As in, the day before yesterday.
Yeah, 2 days ago, you mean?
You would, let's say that I sent you an email or you saw an email or a website with a link to the App Store. You would click on the link and it would dump you out of Mail or Safari and into the App Store. Now it actually just throws up a little pop-up where you can install the app right there without ever leaving the app. So lots of little things like that. But the big things, like Maps, and to a lesser extent Passbook, because a bunch of people are complaining. I think people expected that they would get Passbook and it would just instantly be populated with like free baseball tickets and coupons and airline.
Wait, what? It's not?
No, it's not. It's empty.
I was going to go to the ball game today.
People are like, oh, why isn't it working? Why isn't Passbook working right away? Because you have to populate it with things.
You have to set it up with other apps.
Yes. other apps, and you know, and Passbook is one of those things that while I think it's a great feature and will be great going forward, it's entirely reliant on third-party support. And right now, there's only a handful of places that are supporting it. You go to the App Store and it shows you the apps that you can download that will support it. I already have a Target coupon
for free peanut butter.
Free peanut butter Snickers.
Okay.
And there will be other things.
How are those, by the way?
Oh, they're wonderful.
I've not had one before.
Oh, have you tried Twix ice cream bars?
Yes, they're lovely.
They're the best.
I don't know about
the best.
The ice cream's kind of bad.
Have you tried Butterfingers ice cream?
No.
The best thing are the big ice cream Reese's peanut butter cups. Those things are phenomenal. Anyway, I digress.
There are a couple of other big features that are pretty good. Yeah. I can't remember what the main thing is that I like about iOS right now.
Photo stream.
Shared photo streams
is a very nice feature.
Sorry, I didn't sleep very much last night. That stuff works really well. They updated Mac OS yesterday, so that you can share photo streams to Aperture and iPhoto now.
Yes.
iCloud on PC also is updated.
Oh, it does now. Okay.
So you can see shared photo streams on your right up from my computer in Explorer.
Facebook integration at the OS level is also very nice.
Yeah, I kind of can take it or leave that, but I understand.
A lot of people still like Facebook.
You're talking about the share plate that pops up now when you say share to, and also from
Notification Center, there's a one button tap to post to Facebook. I'm saying
Facebook is a part of this, but in more places where we're either in a a photo or email, and you say send to instead of send to Safari, you have sent to, you have all these icons,
nine things:
the printer, the email, the camera roll. That is great.
Which is great because even though Facebook rebuilt its app, it's not very good. So it's another way to post to Facebook without having to deal with their shitty app.
Right. I also like the phone response stuff.
Yes.
Like that stuff's fantastic. Yes. I used it all weekend.
Greatly improved performance in Safari, it seems like, as well, which is very nice.
Yeah, I've been using Chrome for so long, it doesn't matter.
The same, but you are getting those benefits because you're going to get the render update.
And then the iMessage. So this is another example of them not fixing something that would have been dead simple to increment.
What's this now?
The iMessage thing. So the traditional iMessage problem.
It worked.
So previously you could associate email addresses with any iMessage device, phone, Mac, iPad, whatever. You could only have the phone number attached to your phone.
Right.
So if for example, this would happen to us all the time because I would always send a message to your iPhone, you would send it to my iPhone, and then we'd be on the iPad or Mac or whatever.
Right.
They finally updated that. There's no reason that couldn't have been an update that happened 3 weeks after iMessage came out.
Yeah, they should have done it sooner, but now they've done it, it's good. So if you send a text or an iMessage to my phone number and I'm sitting at my Mac, I will see it on my Mac or my iPad or whatever, which is nice. That's good.
It's good.
So for now on, there's no reason to send messages to anything other than the phone number.
Yeah, so now I have to go back and change all those address book entries.
It'll go to all devices.
And of course, with Facebook integration, you can pull in contacts and birthdays and calendar stuff from Facebook into your calendar.
Yep.
Yeah, so that stuff's good too.
Siri obviously does extra things now, which is nice.
Still not very good.
I'm using it more these days.
You can tweet and Facebook from Siri now.
I think Siri just needs to be faster. It being offloaded. I think some of the stuff, because a lot of...
I think that's an AT&T problem. It's real good when I'm on Wi-Fi.
No, I'm saying that Apple needs to, like, for example, on Google's voice dictation, they have offline dictation. I think it would be smart with all this processing power in these new devices, on Apple devices, to have Siri offload some of that stuff locally, so you're not waiting on whether it's a poor connection or whether it's just processing, so that it's smart enough to know if there's enough of a delay, for at least dictation, it'll go local.
Oh, I want to talk about the other thing that I don't like, and I think a lot of people don't like it, is the new look, redesign, organization of the App Store and iTunes Store is not good.
And it's only on iOS 6.
You want what?
Can I see your phone for a sec?
Just the same as your phone.
No, I want to see. I noticed something about the back of my phone. Weird.
Stuffs.
No, there's a hood over my camera on my phone. Look at the camera hole. The new App Store is bad. The new App Store does not look good.
What is going on?
Obscuring your lens.
Look at that. Yeah, it's obscuring my lens a little bit. That's weird.
Maybe it's busted. You have a broken camera.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Isn't that the shutter that's broken?
No, that's not the shutter.
Some kind of
shutter is not actually.
But there's some kind of thing over it that's broken.
Oh, no. You have something broken.
Cool. To the Apple Store. I'll go tomorrow morning. Shouldn't be a problem, right?
Yeah.
The App Store, I haven't used it enough to really say whether I don't like it or not. My initial reaction is that change is scary and bad.
Well, I got to say, I think we are beginning to see in some small ways, like the reorganization of the App Store, the beginning of stuff starting to leak through that in the old days, Steve Jobs would have said, I give that D and make them redo it.
You can't say that because he was really a big fan of the skeuomorphic calendar and a bunch of the other stuff.
This isn't skeuomorphic, though. This is just bad. This is a new kind of organization, which I don't think is as simple and clean as intuitive as the old organization.
People didn't actually use it. They designed it, but no one used it.
It's difficult to explain, but if you have iOS 6, go to the App Store, iTunes Store, look at what they do, and I don't like it.
Well, it's just exposing a ton more stuff on the homepage.
It's a lot more visual, but it isn't like the old days. If you wanted to see like the top paid apps or top free apps, you would just scroll down a chart of them. Now it's organized into these little boxes of five that you have to kind of scroll sideways across the screen to see, and it's just not as intuitive or simple as it used to be.
And then discover a new app.
If this stuff's
like
really annoying
for change's
too.
Sake,
like the thing. So I have I just opened the App Store on this phone since I updated it.
Yeah.
And I have four. It says, "Hey, Apple has some apps too. Do you want to download these awesome apps?"
Yeah.
It's iBooks, iTunes U, Podcast, Find My Friends, and Find My iPhone. All of those apps are on the phone already.
Yeah. So it should.
So why am I fucking seeing that?
Yeah, that's bad as well. Apple's not perfect.
They used to be.
They do things badly sometimes, and they've done some bad things here.
Yeah, I don't think the homepage design is particularly bad. The problem I have is when you get down into the actual app view, it's less stuff is exposed, and it's harder to find like reviews.
What do you think?
And what's new
time,
and all that
time for Android? Time to switch? Can we go over there?
You know, I really like
You were holding that.
I think you should
HTC
do it.
I was holding the HTC One X earlier, and I can see myself
switching to Android. You know
what? I quite liked it.
If you switch, no camping tonight.
So let's talk about
no camping ever.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Just walk into a store on day one.
No force.
I remember. I remember when the Droid Razor came out, and I was in LA at the time, and I drove, and I was like, "Oh, there was something I needed from a Verizon store," and I thought, "I'll go in the morning." I was driving home in the evening, and there was all this signage out saying, "The Droid Razor, big launch day tomorrow.
Line up early.
And I thought, oh, no, I'm never going to get in there. I thought, I'll go by anyway just in case. Go by. Nothing.
So I did the same thing.
I walked straight in.
When the Motorola Zoom came out, the first Android tablet, I got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
The first Android Honeycomb tablet.
The first real Android tablet.
Okay.
I'm comfortable saying that.
This is a serious benefit of going Android. You never have – there's no
– no force scarcity.
You never have to worry about getting the phone. True. Is it hard to get? Like
sometimes.
On day one sometimes. Like the Galaxy S3 on day one.
Was that really hard to get?
S3 was hard to get
for
a few
weeks. Was anyone standing in line for the Galaxy S3?
Maybe not.
No. You were just walking in the store and getting
one. I saw an ad about this once. Come on. But I don't want to talk about that. Let's – so
– do you want to talk about the ad?
Let's talk about plans for tomorrow.
Well, hold on.
First.
Let's talk.
Do we want to talk about plans or the ad?
We should talk about the phone real quick because I didn't get to chime in on the phone last week.
The actual phone.
Are you excited? Are you going to buy
there
one?
There is new information now.
I got to tell you.
Whole week.
This may change when I get it in my hand, as it often does.
Oh, my goodness.
But for right now, much like iOS 6, this is the iPhone update that I'm least excited about.
You
since
are
the
so wrong, Gary.
Why am I wrong?
You are wrong because it is so light.
Oh, boy.
And I'm telling you, when I get it in my hand, I'll be like, oh, now I get it. But for right now, I'm not excited.
They say it's like a jewel.
They must put something on the outside of it for you. See, I'm the only reason I'm switching is because I want to move to Verizon. Like I would not buy this phone otherwise.
I'm excited.
Here's what
I'm excited about.
You could pay
about.
The two. You're paying the cancel fee
anyway. No. It costs me less to cancel than it does to get a phone from AT&T.
You are going to love being on Verizon. It was the best thing I ever did. You are a chump for staying with AT&T.
Let's talk about the phone.
Now. Okay.
Let's talk about the actual phone.
All right. Here's what I'm not excited about. But I'm willing to believe that I will be excited about what, because this happens a lot of times.
And let's talk about outside of software, because on the 4S,
this is a cycle that happens every year. Apple announces the new phones. Everyone on the internet goes, oh, boring, underwhelming, disappointing. They didn't do anything.
Didn't used to
then
happen,
people
actually
get the phone and they go, oh, actually, it's really great. And I think that will happen here.
I'm very excited about the thinness
and lightness.
I actually think that Apple kind of, because they do a good job with industrial design in a way that really no one else is
and
doing.
And apparently
right
the build quality on this one is by far the
best.
You read
the Gruber post about the micron tolerances and all that
all
stuff.
All very good.
So
29 megapixel cameras.
I'm not particularly excited about this taller screen. I don't really get it.
More icons, bro.
I guess. But I don't know. And I'm not, and I don't necessarily buy Apple's Kool-Aid about how a wider screen is bad. Because I was just using that HT 1X and it seemed fine to me. It's just when they get really big that it gets silly.
Yeah.
But
nobody needs a 5.5 inch phone.
Yeah. That's dumb.
The thing I think is, I think Apple's kind of doing a disservice by not letting people get hands on time with these before
So when you're in line, you know, when you're waiting in line, you have to pick your SKU, your color,
And I'm hoping they come out with size them, like they sometimes do, because I got to tell you, for me, I thought it was going to be an easy choice between black and white this year, and now I'm kind of starting to vacillate again. But you've got to make the choice before you see them.
You can always return it and get another one.
I could do that.
Take it back 10 days.
That's the good thing about... do you want to talk about the camping?
No, let's save that for what we're testing.
Let's finish the iPhone.
Let's save the camping talk, which makes us both seem super sad, for after we've talked about the rest of the news.
I'm excited about LTE.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to have that. Although even that's not a huge step up, because I have a MiFi.
Uh-huh.
And that usually feeds my phone when I'm out anyway. But it'll be
really?
Nice.
You have your MiFi on all the time in your back pocket?
I have it on in the car.
I'm not checking my email.
It'll be very nice to have. And I am going to be looking into the economics of getting rid of the MiFi and just paying extra for some kind of extra data tethering plan for the phone, and just have that be the device that feeds my laptop and my iPad one of
the problem with doing that is the battery on the phone.
The most contentious.
Yeah, but most of the time I'm tethering, it's plugged in anyway.
The most contentious thing for the Apple Watchers is why they went with a foreign screen this time. Why they decided to do it their own way and to give in to this idea that, you know, you don't need a bigger – you need a bigger screen to satisfy customers.
I felt like they had to respond to the idea of everyone saying, oh, well, people want bigger screens.
Because you could imagine with their new manufacturing and, you know, you can have all the same improvements of having the display closer to the glass, thinner glass, using the aluminum back, and having an even lighter and smaller phone,
yes,
but keeping that 3.5-inch screen,
yeah,
you know, something the size of the new iPod Touch 5th Gen, super thin – make that super amazing. Why do you need to go push the 4-inch and have that 16:9?
But I do like the fact that they didn't just concede to, okay, here's a jumbo Android side screen.
Sure,
they made it bigger.
They made
in
it their own way.
In their own way.
And it was a perfect compromise because you used the same pixel density, they had it 4 inches, and you have the 16:9, which just coincidentally
happened. But it just
happened.
Looks kind of odd to me. Don't you think it just looks like a stretch?
So people who have reviewed it
out
and have tested
way.
So far said that it feels still like an iPhone because even though they're stretching out the screen, the amount of bezel space on the top and bottom is relatively the same.
Mm-hmm.
What's different, though, is that when people touch, you know, when you're looking at your screen, the way you hold it and you palm the corner of your screen to the bottom, the phone to the bottom of your hand is going to be different because you're going to have to actually scooch the phone a little further down.
Yeah, because you can't reach all the way to the top row.
Yes, because on those apps that have the black bars, it's going to be shifted up. They're not going to be, it's not like the
it's not centered.
It is centered. So that
it's still up.
You have to shift the whole phone up.
Right.
So that relative to where your thumb was.
So Apple's argument about, well, we wanted to keep it narrow because
Oh, no. That's all valid.
That's good, but it doesn't address the fact that your thumb still isn't long enough to get all the way to the top to the bottom of the screen.
Whether your thumb gets...
popping noise?
I don't know. It's like plastic in the back. Whether or not your thumb is long enough is irrelevant for those apps that aren't updated yet. And may not never be updated.
Right.
So a lot of the apps, you'll get the black bars on the top and bottom. And if I'm holding, for example, my phone on the very bottom how I'm used to holding it, I expect to drag down notification bar or to refresh where my thumb normally is.
Yeah.
That's going to be shifted up because of the black bars on the new phone.
Right.
So you'll have to make that adjustment.
Right.
Also,
but the majority of the time, though, when you're using a phone one-handed, it's for stuff that's at the bottom of the screen, like a keyboard or music controls or something.
Now you can
like
get that black bar on the bottom.
Right.
But they did address some things, so it's not framed the same way like as an iPad, a phone app on the iPad.
Right.
So, for example, when an email comes in and you have notification that flip down notification, it won't actually be – it'll be in that black space. It won't cover part of
the
app.
Space.
It'll use the dead space. The keyboard will be full – you know, use the full widescreen when it pops up from the bottom. So they've addressed little things.
This is not a feature that I'm super excited about.
We will not know until apps actually take advantage of it.
Yes.
CNN is supposedly an app that actually does that.
The thing, there's a couple of games that are out that are updated already.
And of course, all the Apple apps will do it.
This is one of those cases where Apple's notorious secrecy has probably fucked them over.
For developers.
Yeah. Had they come out in June and said, hey, there's going to be a new resolution, there'd be literally thousands and thousands of apps that have come out since then that are updated.
Different than Retina. You know, third-party apps, it took a while for
them to catch up. Well, but on the map situation, had they said, hey, we're not going to have transit maps 6 months ago,
then
there would be a whole shitload of transit apps out now.
Right. That's very good.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah.
Who's that from?
This is from Greg. Greg,
paint a word picture, Norm.
Greg, in his self-addressed stamped envelope, in which he sent two 37-cent stickers stamps and a 33-cent stamp. So you paid about $1.
Give him an extra sticker, Norm.
For I'll give him as many stickers as I want.
That's impressive work.
A buck of stamps.
Dude,
he also printed out a penguin and also an old testicles
logo
cropped from the website, old website.
Oh, on the just to jump back a little bit, because for some reason I thought this was going to be one of those iPhone 5 features that you're artificially kind of limiting to 5, but it's actually an iOS 6.
Yeah,
the panorama.
Only for
4S's.
Have
you tried that yet?
Yeah, we have. It's fine.
I don't know if I'll ever use it, but
the problem is that when you're framing a photo normally, like indoors, you know, your exposure setting is locked. So, for example, like in this room, you know, we have skylights. So when you're shooting a picture here, the exposure setting, the metering for how bright the image should be is locked for that, you know, one frame. When you're shooting a panorama, the exposure setting is fixed. So if it's dark in one side of the room and bright in another side of the room, one side gets blown out or one side gets really dark. So the panoramas don't look even all the way across. Mm. This is less of a problem if you're outdoors and it's same lighting, you know, the sun is just in the sky. And
are you doing it right
landscape
now?
Photo. Uh-huh. It is smart that they did it vertically, so you have the portrait position, so you get a taller image than otherwise. That's how you get that 28-megapixel image. And the guiding is nice, but it's not something that you couldn't have found in other panorama app before.
Right. Okay, it's a little gimmicky.
I'm rotating
right
now.
What are you doing? Yeah, okay, it seems to be done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just got at the corner of a beard.
I think you're falling in that same, there's nothing new about it. That all the writers that haven't used it have said, but the people that reviewed it, most of them said that the thinness, lightness, and the durability.
No doubt.
Is
also, the people
point.
Who reviewed it are the ones that Apple knows they're going to get the best reviews
so,
out of. Just be perfectly clear.
Bigger screen, LTE, what are the other flagship
that's
features?
Pretty much
that's pretty much it, right?
Aluminum back. Aluminum back, I think, is a big deal. I still think the glass back is one of the stupid things.
And for people that really like to stare at their phones and go, oh, so nice. It seems like they've done a good job there as well.
Also, you know, last year we upgraded to the 4S because on two things. One, Siri, and two, the camera. The speed was kind of an afterthought.
I kind of wish I'd skipped the 4S.
Well, I wish I skipped the 4S as well. The camera low light is better, if that's something that matters to people.
And I did see some comparison shots, and the low light performance on the camera does seem much better, which is very good.
I think the thing that people need to really think about is that we're reaching a period of time where incremental updates are the new future for phones.
And this is the argument I've made. Like people, one of the reasons why people complain about Apple when they announce a new phone is they expect them to reinvent the wheel every single time. And the fact that Apple did that already. They disrupted everything and reinvented the smartphone with the first one. And ever since then, they've just iterated and made it a little bit better. That's the business they're in there, just making it a little bit better each time.
Refinement.
Yeah.
I think the reason people expect something big from them is that to a lot of people, the things that the iPhone does literally are magic. Like if you don't understand how technology works, the fact that you have this thing that tells you when you're leaving the house that you need to get milk is a magical thing.
Yes.
And because they don't understand, you know, we've reached a point where I mean, I'm sure there's some other amazing feature coming next year that nobody's ever thought of before. But for the most part, it's incremental updates and things that can be enhanced by software.
Right.
And, you know, we have 17 different kinds of input on this device. And now it's just a matter of figuring out interesting new things to do with that.
Yeah. Well, software does become the gating factor because iOS support, you're only going to get like 3 devices back. So,
well, 4. It goes back to the 3GS.
Except 3GS doesn't get all the functionality.
Neither does the 4, and neither does the 4. Well, I guess the 4S gets everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that the 4S marks the first of the modern of the actual feature complete hardware platform for them.
Right.
And I think that what we see going forward will be incremental advancements.
Until
to that
NFC comes, can't wait to tap the phone to share playlists.
So, do you want to talk about the ad?
Well, I guess so. I guess we should hit pre-orders. They sold 2 million phones on the pre-order day, which I don't know how that's possible because nobody could log into the fucking website.
I logged in at 12:01, no problem.
But to establish
you
this
did
is
it on the phone though.
But the pre-order
I did it online.
The pre-order numbers are much larger than any iPhone before.
Here was a trick.
I have no idea.
And after
don't
the
care.
Fact, well, all right, no. You have to wait in line.
Yeah.
Well, I fucked up badly because I used to stand in line for the iPhone. I did that for the first two or three, and then I wised up. And I thought, well, I'll just pre-order it when it comes out. And you got to stay up late to do it. And the last time, because of the pre-order system was crushed, I was up until like 3 a.m. until my order finally got through. And so I thought, this time, when you got a baby, staying up until midnight ain't what it used to be, let me tell you. So I didn't really want to stay up until midnight, especially thinking, well, it's not really going to be midnight. It's going to be 3 a.m. like it was last time.
What time are you going to get in line tonight, Gary?
We'll get to that.
What time are you going to get in line? You're sending Gary to scout.
Well,
yeah, you can't really mock me for something which you are also doing.
I'm doing it for work.
So am I.
Really?
Yeah, the phone is a work tool for me.
Fair enough.
I use it for work.
It's a little different.
It's critical that I have this taller screen.
Okay.
So
you need extra row of icons.
Continue to be as good a screenwriter as I can.
Perfect. I can't argue with that logic.
It's a business expense. Wholly
people are
legitimate.
Eat us alive this
so
week.
So look, I thought, okay, well, I'll go to bed like I usually do, and I'll wake up when the baby wakes me up at around 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's my life now. And I thought, okay, well, then I'll have the phone by the side of my bed with the Apple Store there. And I'll just – by that point, the pre-order machine
will start. So you're saying you'll order the phone and then feed the kid.
And just go straight back to bed. Yeah. Not even getting out of bed, in fact. But so I wake up at 4 a.m., turn on the App Store – sorry, the Apple Store on my phone. Your phone can now ship in 3 weeks. I'm like, what? And it turns out that, in fact, they did kind of have their shit together this time. And Norm was able to get his order in at 12:01. And by 4 a.m., the initial day one shipping had already been exhausted.
So in the process for me of trying to do the set up a new account on Verizon, and the amount of time it took, it went from, hey, go nuts, ships on whatever Friday, to you're fucked, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It took 3 hours.
It took way less than that. It took an hour. It was done by 1 a.m.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I mean, I know this happens every year, but I really – because in many ways, to a lot of people, seeing the bigger screen in the LTE, that's a huge update for a lot of people. It's also because I think people usually skip the S and wait for the next big tick.
They want big, giant lines.
The talk.
For a lot of people, are going to be out of contract or able to get subsidized pricing. The lines on this one – and we'll know in 24 hours – the lines on this one are going to be bigger and nuttier. And when Apple eventually and AT&T and those guys all next week do their press releases, the numbers are going to be bigger than any we've ever seen. That's my prediction.
You know, the 4 sold 600,000 first day.
Yeah.
Pre-orders and to lines?
Pre-orders.
Okay.
First 24 hours, 600,000. That was without Verizon.
Right.
And the 4S did 1 million. Yeah. And this one did 2 million.
Yeah. So it's huge.
So I think that they're very specifically controlling pre-order numbers, and they want to have a big ass line for this because they want
and
this
to be. And
there
will be big ass lines. So I fucked up, and because
not your fault.
Because I didn't want to stay up until midnight, now I'm going to have to lose a lot more.
So sleep. the worst part of that is if you did stay up until midnight and went through the whole process and then still end up waiting in line.
Yeah.
Sucks.
But in some ways, getting it from the store is better because you can actually, if there's a problem with the phone,
stop justifying.
Because you can, if you need to return it, you can just return it to the store. When you order online, you cannot do that. You have to mail it.
Honestly, I'd rather have one bad night.
You cannot go to the store and get support
if you
buy it
online.
No, you can't exchange it. No,
not at the store.
No. So if you want white, you have to send it back and not have a phone for 2 weeks.
Yes,
black.
I'd rather have one bad night than a year of shitty service is the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
So I'm very glad you're switching to Verizon.
It validates your choice. It's a cognitive.
It was so funny.
You guys validate each other.
It was so funny at PAX, all the people that I was having lunch with that were on AT&T couldn't even send a tweet. And I said, well, log on to my Verizon MiFi. And suddenly it was like cavemen seeing fire for the first time. They were like, what is this magic? I now have a connection.
So something even bigger, if that's possible, than the iPhone happened this week too.
What?
MakerBot announced their new replicator.
Gary's
furrowed brow.
Can it make me an iPhone?
It'll make you an iPhone case.
It'll make me a small plastic object.
Yes. Dock. Awesome small plastic objects.
MakerBot Industries, our friends in New York.
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, which part of New York.
It is part of New York.
They had a big press conference yesterday, and they announced two new MakerBots. And
I have MakerBot envy.
The MakerBot replicator that we got a few months ago is now no longer for sale.
No. They're running out of stock.
No, they're not making any more of those. This new MakerBot is the first MakerBot, fourth generation, not made out of wood.
It's a steel frame, so... I mean, one of the big knocks against the current replicator is that the wood nut slot and M3 nut frame is a little bit, I don't want to say jiggly, but it's not rigid. And you kind of want, when you're dealing with higher levels of precision, rigidity becomes very important.
Mm-hmm.
So the new MakerBot
tighten those nut slots.
You can only tighten them so far because the wood starts to cave in. The new replicator is a steel frame. It's a much higher resolution nozzle. 100 microns, I believe.
Which is about two times the fineness of the current nozzle, the shooter.
Something like that. So
per layer.
It's going to make – you'll be able to make lines, layer thicknesses that are about a tenth the thickness of the existing one, assuming it works the same way as the existing printer does. The big change, though, is the switch in plastic, in recommended plastic. All the MakerBots up until this point have been recommended for use with ABS plastic, which is petroleum-based. It shrinks a fair amount when it cools. So when it comes out of the nozzle, it's expanded. As it cools to from 200 C to 100 Celsius, it shrinks a fair amount, which causes warping, and it makes the print pop off of the platform and all sorts of other stuff. So it's kind of a problem. A lot of the stuff that you do to your MakerBots, like put hoods over them and stuff like that, are to counteract that warping effect. So the new one does PLA plastic, which I think is cornstarch based or something like that.
And it's one extruder only?
Single extruder for the model that they're selling that ships in 4 weeks. The
2X.
The 2X, which ships early next year, has two dual extruders.
And will also be ABS.
PLA.
No, ABS. That one's,
oh, it's ABS and PLA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, it's super, super exciting. They've opened a retail store in Brooklyn so you can go and check this out in person, see the kind of stuff you can print.
It looks like a legitimate, like, I mean, I thought the replicator looked real legit as a thing you could buy, but this one, it looks like a crazy tool, a hobbyist kit.
Well, it looks like something that costs $35,000, like the other 3D printers. I mean, they're very clearly going after the real 3D, I air quoted real there, the real 3D printer market, rather than the hobbyists. The other big change is MakerWare. So if you've ever printed with a MakerBot or any other homegrown 3D printer, the software is hard. It's challenging. Replicator G, while it has seen massive advancement over the last 2 years since we started 3D printing, is a hard to use piece of software. And what Replicator G does is takes a 3D model and slices it. So it basically it takes a model and then looks at the model and says, okay, to make this thing into a physical object, you move the printhead in this specific kind of pattern, and this is how much plastic to poop out at any given time, and then go up a layer and do it again, right? MakerWare lets you drop multiple models onto a platform, which is impossible to do in Replicator G, scale things independently or together, kind of arrange things for optimal use. And I downloaded it. I'm going to try it out on this week's – or actually probably next week's
and
mystery object.
And it works on the existing replicator.
Works on the existing replicator is my understanding. So and this is because of software they developed in-house. MakerBot hired a bunch of developers over the last couple of years. And those guys are all have been working on this apparently for quite a while.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it.
So yeah. So that's Replicator 2. I'm super excited. I saw Bree at this thing I was at this weekend, and he was super coy about what they were gonna roll out. So excited to see it, and we're gonna be in New York next week. We're gonna go see him. So we'll have more video, hopefully with the MakerBot Replicator 2 in action very soon. Walmart isn't selling Kindles anymore.
Do they have their own ebook reader?
No, I think they realized that maybe Amazon is competition for them.
Oh.
And perhaps it's not a wise idea to sell the competitors' products in the store.
Yeah, every Kindle they sell basically cuts off their future book sales.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised Best Buy sells Kindles too, frankly.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, Best Buy, like, fuck it. It's like children of men.
People
want to
buy this?
Like, we're the last person to die. Please turn off the lights. It's over.
Jesus Christ.
It's over
grim.
For Best Buy. Come on. It's finished.
When was the last time you went to a Best Buy?
I don't even remember. And when I did, what people do now, which is just to check out products I'm going to buy online.
Oh, my God. Well, I needed, like, a cable. I needed a micro HDMI cable.
Every now and again, you need something that, like, you can't wait 48 hours for. You got to go. You'll go and get it, like, yeah. Radio Shack or Best Buy or whatever. But, nah. Remember when Circuit City and Good Guys and all those guys died and they were just empty stores? That's Best Buy's. There's going to be huge, big blue and yellow mausoleums all over America.
What could we use?
Probably within 12 months.
So, like, those old Circuit Cities are now, like, sporting goods stores.
Or like, Big Lots.
This is what you will see. What you saw at Circuit Cities, you're going to see big blue and yellow buildings all over America that now say Mattress King and things like that.
What could we if
and
we
sports?
So what you're saying
yeah,
is
that's
we,
where it's going.
We'll be able to buy that Best Buy in Colma really cheap soon. So what should we do with that space?
There was a Borders that went down at Stonestown Mall, yeah. And the people that took it over just took the letters and Borders and made an anagram out of the existing.
What's
and that
the
was
new
the
name store
of their
name?
New business. It was called Ode or something. They just took the O, the D, and the E and threw the rest away.
That's fantastic.
And now it's a Sports Authority.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So why do sporting goods stores, I guess because
you need that shit now, and it's got to be sized.
Sized.
So like if you go get
cups
football
need to
pads.
Be sized. Don't buy your cups on Amazon.
No. And if you go buy football pads, you got to try that shit on and get it fitted for you. Mm. Same thing for helmets and all that stuff.
If I worked at Best Buy, I'd be like the fucking last days of the Roman Empire over there. I'd just be having orgies and toga parties and vomiting all over everything. Like, who cares? You're all out of a job in 6 months anyway. You might as well go out, you know, with a bang.
So you just sit in the back playing Wii U games all day?
Fuck yeah.
HTC announced a couple of Windows phones yesterday, the 8X and 8S. The 8S
compares to the Lumia.
I don't kind of care. The same hardware, basically, different colors. The 8X, which is the one that looked interesting to me. I don't understand why you have a cheap phone and an expensive phone in the Windows phone category. I think you should just make one awesome Windows phone.
I think a lot of people want phones for $50 on contract or free.
Yeah, but let me rephrase. I don't understand the logic of buying into a $2,000 data plan over 2 years and then trying to save $50 on a phone.
Well, that's what a lot of people actually do, and I don't know if those data contracts are actually that expensive for some people.
When they have to buy them into the family share plans, which is $40 a phone plus $90 a month, $80 a month.
Yeah, a lot of people are complaining about those sharing plans.
Mm. Anyway, so the 8X is 4.3-inch 720p screen, 1.5 gigahertz dual core, 1 gigabyte of RAM, 16 gigabytes of storage, and it has NFC, so you can bump your phone.
Mm.
Do you guys feel NFC envy? You're a little worried about that with the iPhone 5?
Well, I don't know enough about NFC to know if I should be envious of it, but it seems like something that Android fans are very they like to point out that this is something they have that iPhone people don't have.
So it's basically the big thing that I think you would use it for, that dumb Samsung ad, which I don't know if we're going to talk about it or not, but it shows people sharing a playlist.
It's dumb.
The thing that it's useful for is contactless payments. Like if you have a contactless payment, you can use your phone to pay for things at the grocery store and basically any place that you see one of those NFC tags on a payment scheme. You guys, this is great podcast, guys. Thanks.
Sorry.
Freedom forever, Gary.
So are we talking about the Samsung ad?
Yeah.
I was going to talk about NFC, but
all
okay.
I can say is it's made me very, very insecure. As I wait in line for the new iPhone, I'm now terrified that some cool Samsung Galaxy S owners are going to come by and like high-five their phones share playlists. And I'll be like, oh, fuck, why can't I do that?
We'll get that next year.
Yeah, why don't we get your kid to wait in line for the phone for us?
Because she's too small.
Nobody's going to jack a baby's place in line.
No, but they might just jack the baby.
Well, okay, that's a legitimate concern, I guess. But she needs to grow up faster so she can wait in line for us. I'm tired of waiting in lines.
Well, we could always pay some people to do it.
That's a little shady.
That's not my style, though.
No. I'm a man
of the people. I wait in line like everyone else. I'm no better than the next person.
No one is more a man of the people than you, Gary.
I'm very
egalitarian.
We'll talk about your camping strategies later.
Yeah.
That Samsung ad,
they did the same thing
as what they did for the 4S.
Yeah, so this is basically a redo of the previous ad, which is basically a bunch of Apple sheep, hipsters, however they are portraying them, and standing outside what is basically a mock-up, but it's meant to be an Apple store.
It looks
like an Apple store, but it's not.
They did multiple Apple stores. They did one in L.A., the bit popular ones in L.A., the one in San Francisco on the corner. So kind of at first glance, like, oh, that looks like Powell Street.
So yeah, the basic premise of the ad is the same as the old one, which is a bunch of Apple hipsters waiting in line for the new phone.
They're a little confused and dumb.
Yeah, all drinking each other's Kool-Aid and pretending the headphone jack being on the bottom now is a huge deal. Yeah, oh my God, and we're getting all the stuff we got last year.
What does that even mean?
And then an actually cool Samsung person comes along with his big phone, and everyone in the Apple line goes, wait, what's that?
It's GS3.
We didn't know about that because we live in a reality distortion field, and we didn't know this other phone exists.
We're going to get that next. LTE, right?
Did you just high-five that guy's phone with your phone? What was that? Why can't we do that? Your phone's actually better.
So
and pops for Apple. I want to see when they were shooting this ad if people actually walked by and were
ultimate diss happens is one of the guys that's in the line is actually holding the spot for his square parents who are not cool. So the whole point of the ad is to say, if you're into iPhone, this I make this point. This is the Mitt Romney of commercials.
This is Mitt Romney saying
47% of Americans are just work shy layabouts who want to sponge off the government.
Get in line for your phone
this
now.
This is Samsung taking the same approach, not attacking their competitor, but attacking their competitor's customers and saying, you are an idiot for believing the Apple Kool-Aid and standing in line, where you could actually have this other phone, which you've never heard of, but is actually somewhat better.
Can I ask a question that I might or might not like the answer to? Do you guys think this ad is bad because it mocks Apple customers or because it perpetuates myths of tribalism in consumer electronics that are profoundly dumb?
First of all, I would say that...
There's a right answer
here, just
to be clear.
First of all, I would say it's not a myth. I would actually say that although it's an exaggerated version of it. Yeah. What the people that are in those lines, those people do exist. Yeah, any Apple, any line you go into, you're going to see versions of those conversations.
You go to any forum.
Samsung has not made this up. This phenomenon exists.
It's a tiny, if you're talking about people who complain about
those
phones
are the people
on forums,
tiny
vocal minority.
I don't know.
Android users, they hate Apple.
I think I think in some ways the concept of the ad is fundamentally flawed, because Samsung is basically spending a lot of money to remind people that the iPhone is the only phone that people actually stand in line for because it's that popular. So they're kind of just highlighting the popularity of their competitor, but they're trying to say, well, just because it's most popular isn't necessarily the best. But I don't know, insulting the customers. I think what they've basically realized is that, and this is the same thing that Mitt Romney has realized, he's never going to win in the same way that Mitt Romney's never at this point in the election, right? That most people have already made their mind up, and there's a little 10%
vote. It's
in
the
independents,
swing that makes the,
and you can only really get those guys.
Oh, it's Kevin Costner, one vote.
Most people,
well, not Kevin Costner, Dennis Quaid.
Most people that are really into, there is tribalism, and most people that are really into their iPhone are never going to switch to Android. Most people that are really into Android, because
that ad is for the people who there is no question that
people
they're
that
ever going to buy anything but an Android phone.
No, it is.
Yeah, the ad doesn't.
Well,
the ad,
no, it is for people who are never going to buy an iPhone.
It's for,
but they don't know whether to buy a Samsung or an HTC or a Windows phone, and this is trying to push them.
It's
to
for
Samsung.
People. It's so for it's people like that are already in the Android camp, but may have an HTC or a Nexus, and maybe this is the best phone to have. Sure. And they get to mock the iPhone people as well.
Why does nobody ever target
but it's
the Windows
also
phone
aimed
users?
At independents. People, tech independents,
don't kick the baby.
Swing voters who are like, I don't really care about Apple, or I just want the best phone. And they look at the ad and go, yeah, I don't want to be one of those guys. They're kind of just a herd mentality. And look at these young, trendy folks over here bumping their phones.
I don't know.
Together.
Brad was on the fence. Brad was on the fence. And I think he really wants to be one of those trendy hippie.
My cool point hipsters. Is just that the tiny percentage of people on either side of these inane holy wars about consumer products, which is – I mean, there's stuff that's probably stupider to fight about on the internet, like maybe sports and TV, but it's real close. This is near the bottom of the list, right?
Right.
Just don't do this. This is bad advertising.
No, it's effective advertising.
Don't buy it.
A lot of
why
people,
are we talking
people,
about it?
A lot of people have made the argument. Oh. A lot of people have made the argument that it's no different than the Apple Mac versus PC ads.
I thought that Apple Mac versus PC ads were real bad too.
Well, Adweek said it was the best ad campaign of the decade.
I didn't say they were clever. I said they were bad. I think they're very clever. I think they were very bad for
just effective
general. People
yes, they were clearly hugely effective because people still remember them, and they haven't even been on the air for 10 years. The difference between the two campaigns, and it's a small but I think it's an important distinction, is that Apple in the Mac versus PC was mocking the PC, albeit in an anthropomorphized form, they were mocking the PC.
Not the PC
Samsung
user.
Is actually mocking the customer, which I don't know if that's a smart thing to do, but clearly, again, Android is hugely
Samsung
popular.
Doesn't care about Apple users.
Samsung is selling a lot of phones as is. I don't think they've got too much to worry about other than maybe having all their phones cleared off the shelves by court rulings in the near future. But for the time being, they're quite happy to be – they really are –
well, I'm really surprised
the fact there's a lot of animosity between them and Apple. But they really – this is like – again, to use the political analogy, I've never seen so much negative advertising in technology.
I'm surprised that in that ad they didn't go after the price of the iPhone, not people, you know, even mid-contract paying – $500.
Well, because Samsung is a full – the Galaxy S3 is a full-price phone.
It used to be
It's on contract as well, but no one's going to go mid-contract and buy a Galaxy S3.
It used to be in tech just highlighting
Android.
The benefit
typically,
of
because
there's
so many Android phones come out, people usually wait till the end of the contract and upgrade.
That's true.
Which, to be fair, I think the vast majority of Apple users also do. But again, those people in line I would say many of them mid contract.
It's an amusing ad, and it may well be effective. But again, I question the fundamental wisdom of mocking people that might actually be interested.
You
in
are
phone.
Not your smartphone.
If this is what you, I could be an iPhone person that is actually considering that stood in line for the last iPhone, but is now maybe considering a Galaxy S3 because a friend showed me one. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I'm like, oh, this is what you think of me? You think I'm one of these herd mentality sheep? Well, fuck you.
I think this guy. I think the people outside the line and inside the line look exactly the same.
Now, I wanted to. I do want to.
You
talk
think
about
the line is just a mirror?
I do want to talk about the phone bumping, because that I think is the. I think that's the weak point of the ad when the two people bump their phones together.
No. Let's go simulate it.
They actually put their phones back to back.
This.
High five, Norm.
And then they
high
tap
five.
It. They tap it with the finger.
Tap.
Very,
I want to do that all the time.
Very
just the
uncomfortable.
Tap.
Yes, and. So I've sent you a playlist, which of course in reality is I don't want to hear your shitty music, and you don't want to hear my shitty music. No. But in Samsung's own reality distortion filter, this
Spotify.
Happens. I think that's the whole point. It's pointless anyway. Let's talk about NFC real quick, because this is something that came out of this ad.
Yes.
Is that
let's go back to
there
NFC.
Was some controversy about whether or not NFC should have been in the new iPhone. It's something a lot of the modern
NFC is probably have. The last feature. If NFC is going to be a thing, NFC is the last feature that needs to be added to that.
So it allows things
now.
Like direct beaming of material between it's the direct handshake between phones that are close together.
It's basically a contactless data transfer,
contactless payments for credit cards, something like that.
Yeah.
So
that's the big thing is contactless payments, but the payment authorization systems are all over the place.
So
Google has one, MasterCard
Apple
has one.
Apple clearly looked at it and decided that it wasn't worth it. Did they miss something here? Should the iPhone have had NFC
there yet?
The infrastructure is getting there.
I don't see a lot of those swipers.
Every Safeway in the country has them.
Oh, they have them now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's both less secure because it doesn't require contact, and it's more secure because the data on the chip is encrypted in a more real way. Like, if you look at the encryption on a mag stripe of a credit card, it's trivial to break at this point because it's old formats, and like upgrading the millions and millions of contact of magstripe card readers in the world is not a feasible thing.
Right.
The fact that, however, that somebody can theoretically walk up to you and bump your wallet and take an NFC read, get an NFC reading off a credit card in your pocket or off of your phone theoretically again, is worrisome to security people. And there's legitimate concern on that.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything we've learned over the last 10 years, it's that really banks should not be trusted with
security
stuff.
I think NFC is a technology that has a lot of potential, and I think it is something that Android phones, at least the current ones, have over the iPhone. It's just I think this bumping playlist is not the way I would have showcased it. There's got to be more interesting and useful ways.
No, the way you showcase that is saying, hey, what about the $20 you owe me? Boom, there it is.
I mean, I remember Steve Ballmer standing on a stage with a Zune going, I'm going to squirt my songs at you. And nobody gave a shit. So what makes anyone think they're going
to
give a shit
See,
now?
The difference there, though, is that squirting songs to people sounded fucking awesome. Because remember, we were in post-Napster world then. And you thought, oh man, I would love people to share music. Hey, here's this song.
Streaming services.
Check this out. It was before RDO and Spotify. Mm-hmm. The problem was nobody fucking bought Zune, so it was completely useless.
Yeah.
Like if everybody had Zunes in a world with no iPods, squirting music would have been fantastic.
Right. And I think, there's another fragmentation problem as well. And again, this will change as the Android platform matures and more of the phones that are out there in the world have the more recent operating system. But again, 82% of phones don't support this feature that are Android phones.
There's a four out of five
chance that if I do meet an Android buddy and say I want to bump my phone with you, like, oh, I can't do it.
It's not a phone to phone feature. It's a phone to point of sale station feature. That's why I'm saying
they are not showing it in its best light in that commercial.
Well,
no one's going to do this in the public.
Explaining what NFC is to people who are watching ads on TV is a hopeless thing. And also, that version of the ad that we watched before the show is 90 seconds long.
So
no way that's in the one that shows on TV.
When Apple inevitably does NFC, that we presume, what will they call it?
I don't think they're going to do NFC. If they haven't done it yet, then NFC is not going to.
I think they're going to do it. I think Apple doesn't want to do things first. They want to do it best. They think that when they're more of those kiosks. Yeah, what are
smart
they going to call
touch.
It? Air Touch.
Yeah, they'll call it AirPay or
touch
something.
Touch me.
Air Touch.
No. Touch you.
I touch.
I touch you.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, did perfect. We talk? Did touch you guys time. Talk? Did you talk, guys talk about earpods while I was away?
No, we didn't.
That's exciting.
No, it's not. Hey, they point sound in your ear, yes. as opposed to away from your ear.
Who would have thought it? The sound should go into your ear.
So the thing about Apple earbuds is that I think that along with the person who designed the airline seat, you know, that the standard airline seat,
yeah,
and I can't think of anything worse than those two things. Like the default Apple earbuds are the only thing worse than them were the in-ear Apple earbuds, $35 upgrades, which
were
terrible.
Worse. Yeah, I hate those.
I mean, these things look like they're going to be like pencil erasers jammed into your ear.
I mean, I think, you know, for the majority of people that just use those earbuds, it's an improvement over the ones that you get currently. But a lot of people that really take their music seriously are never going to use those things.
And or comfort,
use their Sennheisers
just be clear.
Or their, Bang Olufsen hipster headphones. Their Skull Candy.
Oh.
No, those are shit, aren't they?
Actually, they're getting bad. Those Skull Candy people are saying that where they used to be a rebadger of shit Chinese headphones, they're saying they're making real ones.
I want to get a set of really, really good headphones. I have some Sennheisers, but they're kind of lower end.
Over the ear or earplugs?
Like proper, really comfortable cups, cans.
Talk to Dave Snyder. He's all into that.
But I won't buy Beats because fuck that shit.
Of course. Do you want something to walk around or just at home? And how much you're willing to pay?
I think.
Because those headphones and do you have?
Yeah, you can go up to like $2,000 on headphones if you want to get crazy.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Plus, you'll need an amp.
But it would be nice to find a good gaming headset that also is just good for listening to
music.
No
such thing.
No such thing.
Well, I mean, you can spend a lot of money, and like the Astro A40s are nice. They sound okay, but they're tuned for games and not music.
You could buy a nice headset or a nice headphone and use that as your gaming headphone.
Right. That's the other way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
Would it have an inline mic?
No, you have to use your
snowball. I don't mind doing that. But okay. All right. I'm going to try this.
What's the difference?
Yeah, the snowball you have in front of your desk anyway.
I know, but it's...
You're not putting your mouth to it.
I mean, it sounded pretty good the other night when we were playing Borderlands.
Sounded fine.
I'll just use that then.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
But
I don't like the headphones I have. The headphones I have are shitty.
Canon announced the 6D.
There's a big coverage going on right now in Germany. We talked about this last week.
Photokina.
I wish I was there.
You should have gone.
It's very expensive. I don't want to waste money, company money. It's in Germany also.
There's plenty of stuff you can do in Germany.
You say that like it's a bad thing. What do you mean against Germany?
It's a long trip.
Oh, okay. I thought you were dissing
Germany. We're going, no, I've
never been to Germany. Why can you not mute iMessage? I have iMessage completely closed, and when somebody sends me a message, it bings.
You can turn the sounds off in the settings.
I know, but then I don't ever get... okay, yeah.
Both Nikon and Camera announced two full-frame cameras, so big sensors. At $2,100, and I'm going to buy neither of them, the D600 and the Canon 6D.
Okay.
A new line.
Why are you not buying either of them?
Autofocus on the Canon sucks, and the D600 has, I think I'm not really going down the cameras
first, please.
Do you not bother taking pictures with your phone at all anymore?
Nope.
So the camera, if they, no matter what
when
the
I take
does,
pictures,
it's not anyway a selling point.
When I take pictures with my phone,
yeah,
I turn off Wi-Fi because it goes to PhotoStream, or when it goes to PhotoStream, I delete it immediately because I don't want those crappy phone camera pictures polluting my PhotoStream.
Then why take the picture at all?
Because if I don't have my camera with me, my other camera.
I am.
You really are turned into quite a photo snob, haven't you?
Image quality is everything.
I mean, I like my NEX3 a lot, and there's no question it takes far better pictures than my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we've said it a million times, the best camera is one you have with you, and I'm not going to carry that thing with me all around.
This is true. So Canon 600. D600. It's not at all confusing.
Nikon D600.
I understand.
They have the letters in front of the numbers.
I'm just saying.
And the Canon
It's unfortunate,
ones.
The naming schemes.
Well, it's just like ATI and NVIDIA when they had, you know.
That also was unfortunate.
All the way up to the 9800s. And
then they just reset.
Do you remember the 6800? Oh, which one?
6870 there were
two 6800. Or the 6800?
And there were two 6800s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is confusing.
So are these normal? Are these cameras
these are DSLRs,
for human beings, or are
these
they for professionals?
These are cameras they say are for enthusiasts, so not for professionals.
Are they expensive?
Professional, they're $2,100.
Wow, that's a lot of money
for
enthusiasts.
For the body. They're deep pocketed enthusiasts.
Why would you buy one of these instead of the 5D Mark III?
5D Mark III is $3,500.
So okay.
So this is $1,400 cheaper.
But I think if you're in the range that you're spending $2,000 on a camera body, probably $1,400 is not.
No, I think $2,000, $1,400, that's almost twice the price. So, yes.
No, I understand. I'm just saying if you're the kind of person that would spend $2,000 on a camera, why not just spend $3,000?
Really? I don't think that's how people think.
If you're buying that body, I think if you're in that market for a body, you've put so much money into glass that $2,500 versus $3,500 probably isn't that much of a difference.
Mm.
I mean, because you're looking at probably somebody who has a few thousand dollars worth of lenses easy. Because you're not going to buy that if you're just using the kit lens.
Or renting lenses.
Maybe renting lenses.
Yeah, I think $1,400 is a lot of money.
I think anything over $1,200 is a shitload of money.
Would you rather have a 5D Mark III or would you rather have a nice MacBook Air and a 6D? I would take the 6D and the MacBook Air if someone offered me both those things.
That's an interesting point. Okay, fair enough. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Sony announced a super, super duper slim version of the PS3. This is the third hardware revision for the PS3, right?
I thought this was quite interesting.
I don't understand the impetus at this point.
I'm confused by it because I don't understand. They already have a very nice, perfectly good, slim PS3 out there. This one is a bit slimmer, but there's nothing. It has kind of the crappy top-loading system that I don't love.
This one is probably the one. It's probably parts are cheaper now.
It kind of looks a bit more kind of Bally Olufsen-y, you know.
Is it shiny? It is shiny.
It's a little shinier.
It's no longer like the matte.
Yes.
This is like,
and it's more expensive than the current PS3.
It's $20 more because it's a bundle, includes Drake's Uncharted 3.
Yeah. So I'm confused by this.
So they wanted to bundle it, make a little more money on it. I bet they refine the manufacturing process now because it makes sense if they're planning to make a PS4 because when they released a PS3, remember, super expensive, but they still sold the PS2 because a lot of games out and it's available. Yeah. And they have PSN also. So they want to keep the PS3 at an affordable price and they launch it now so that next year when they launch a PS4 or whenever, they can lower this price to $200 without the game. And that will be the budget model. Still great for games, still play PSN, but for people who don't want to spend the $500, $600
I've never heard of a company raising the price of its console right before going into a holiday sales season.
They'll call it
and for the first time in quite a few years against a new console as well.
They'll drop the serious
competition.
They'll pull the new
console
bundle.
Starts at $300.
Yes,
to be fair.
Yes,
they'll pull the copy of Uncharted 3 from this bundle and sell it for $50, $60 less.
Yeah, and PlayStation really hit its stride. There are a lot of good games on there.
If I was Sony, I would love to be going into this holiday with the PS3 at $199. I don't know if they can make that add up, but I think that would be much more compelling than what they have right now. Because Xbox is, you know, they just keep slashing the price on that thing.
But those things keep red ringing too.
Not the new ones.
The new ones don't.
The second body style hasn't red ringed at all that I know.
The new one doesn't do that.
Right. Once they got the whole thing on one chip, all bets were off. I wonder if there's a die shrink involved with this. It's a half the size of the last one, or 25% smaller than the
slim.
It's half the size of the original and 25% the size.
I thought we had said goodbye to top loading. I didn't realize that was still a thing.
No slots.
Yeah, no slots. Top loading is probably cheaper. The slot drives are always more expensive on PC.
Yeah.
I think
top loading Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Are you going to get a Wii U?
No, $300 is too much. Wii U is the thing where I will wait for someone else to buy it and then go to their house to play it.
Yeah, hey Gary, can we come to your house to play Wii U games?
I don't know if I'm going to get it yet.
You should get it. You can camp out. I'll come camp with you if you get it.
I actually camped out overnight for the original Wii.
So did I.
Which I felt very clever about at first, but then regretted instantly. I spent more time in line than I
did
playing.
That first month was great.
No, you played all of Super Mario Galaxy.
No, honestly, even if that thing had just been a Super Mario Galaxy box and that's all it did, I would have got my money's worth out.
It was so novel.
It's brilliant.
We played a lot of that
one of
the first 2 years.
It was the first console I took to people's houses and took to family parties and stuff. Because they didn't have it.
The parents would bowl.
It definitely, yes. The Wii Sports, and like I said, we got a lot out of it. Wii U, I don't know.
We had at least two parties at your house where we played Wii Sports.
Yeah, and new Super Mario Brothers. We had a tremendous fun time playing that as well.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'll probably get it. I don't know. We'll see.
It had Fruit Ninja before Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja.
In Wii Sports Resort.
Mm-hmm.
Circle Pad Plus for 3DS XL is out in Japan. That's that big second thumbstick that hangs off on the right side.
Yeah.
It was unclear.
That thing is even bigger
now. It's really big. Yeah. Still pretty dumb.
All right.
And then Valve got a Weta made a portal turret for Valve. I don't know if you've seen, I know you've seen this. I don't know if Norm's seen it yet. It is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
They've done
a Team Fortress
turret
for them in the past. And now they have a portal turret also.
Yeah, the Team Fortress one's just a level one turret. I was a little bummed when I saw that.
It's not a full on.
No. I don't think the physics work for the full on deployment.
You don't think so?
No.
I bet it would probably be
top heavy.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that online.
Bolt it to the ground.
Yeah.
I don't think it could deploy as a from first.
Oh no, no,
no! They couldn't. They couldn't actually make it deploy like that. But you can have it in its fully in its full.
Yeah,
form.
You want the third dual Gatling.
Would you rather have a fully functional, model replica working mechanical portal turret or TF2 turret?
If it was the level three TF2 turret,
does it actually shoot?
TF2
does not actually has lasers though. At least for the portal one.
Yeah, I like the TF2 turret.
I think they're both great.
They're very different styles.
Does it talk? Is anyone there?
You can make it talk.
There you are. Yeah, they both track, though, which is scary.
Yeah.
When we went in the Valve office last time.
Yeah, they activate when you walk in.
And it aims at you. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
It's not good. You wish you had a demo man gun.
Yeah.
Grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a spy. You could be a spy. You're going with a balaclava on your head.
I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to talk about what we've been testing and our iPhone 5 camping strategy. Gary Whitta, on our desk directly in front of you, you have what appears to be an as-seen-on-TV product called the Oldie Brooklyn Lantern.
Yes, as you know, I've been a fan of this product.
One of three.
Since I first got it.
You got three of them?
Well, I don't know. I somehow ended up with three.
That's a lot of Oldie Brooklyn Lantern. What is the Oldie Brooklyn
somehow
Lantern?
Somehow ended up with three. That's how it always goes with as-seen-on-TV. I got the SkyMall.
Yes. Would you like to add a second? Oh, yes.
The last
SkyMall,
time you were,
right?
I got the SkyMall. It's in my bag.
Oh, you actually have it?
I actually have
There's no SkyMall on Virgin. This is the one failing of Virgin
that
America.
That is a failing. That is a failing.
Someone should rectify that.
Are you not going to go get it?
I can go get it.
We talked about this last time Gary was here.
Keep on talking about the old Brooklyn Lantern.
So I brought this in because we'd been talking about it recently. It's one of my favorite products that I bought off TV recently.
It's a flashlight, right?
It's basically a flashlight, but it's a lamp. It's very, very useful when I wake up now in the middle of the night or when Leah wakes up for late night, middle of the night baby feedings.
Uh-huh.
This light on its lowest setting is perfect for, late night.
Is this like the thing that Luke uses to charge R2-D2?
It looks, in Empire Strikes Back. It looks a bit like that.
You think we could turn this into that? I bet you could.
So it's all LED. It runs on 2D batteries.
That's a lot of batteries.
It has a dimmer switch, so it goes all the way up to super brightness.
2D batteries with an LED light is going to last like 100 years.
Yeah, that's what's great about it.
It's like a Book of Eli lantern.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep this. So we keep this in the house now for power cuts. Because you can just, rather than having a flashlight, you can just plunk it on the table and actually have a whole area.
You play like a board game or something with this?
Yeah, you know, you have all kinds of fun with it. So I've used it a few, so we use it every night now for the late night baby feedings. On its lowest setting, gives you just enough light to kind of wake the baby up and give her bottle
and not have to disturb everyone else.
I also used it in installing a new video card recently, provided enough light to kind of get.
Do you not own a flashlight?
But I don't have to hold the flashlight. I would have to hold that. This I can just sit down and it provides the light that I need.
But doesn't it kind of like usually
we have headbands.
Yeah, you can have the headband. Yeah, if you want to look like an idiot, or you can. I have the flashlight.
Clearly, that's never stopped.
You can have the flashlight between your teeth. That's not really for me either.
Oh, you can be the actor in the ad.
And I do think it's going to come in very handy for
installing video cards.
Our little iPhone camping vacation.
Oh my goodness!
Did we talk about the acting that's required for an scene on TV?
That was all about last time.
Yeah, we did that. We did that the other week.
SkyMall.
That is indeed a copy of SkyMall.
True to my... Oh, it's actually not. This is a different one.
Well, it has that same ad, but it's not on the cover.
It's not on the cover anymore.
But it has both things that you talked about last time.
Yeah.
I folded the pages to make notes. It has the Queen Corgi solar
I told you about that. The solar-powered Queen and Corgi.
How many people do you think touch that magazine after going to the bathroom without washing their hands?
Many.
Who takes SkyMall to the bathroom in
I'm just saying,
on
coming back
airplane.
In to the seat. Oh, I'm going to peruse this copy of SkyMall.
Who doesn't wash their hands on the airplane? That's gross.
It's kind of hard. You have to press the water twice.
So are there any products that stuck out for you, Norm, that you thought considered ordering? I'm just glad that they took it. Remember when they used to have the Omaha Steak and Lobster shipping company? That always made me hungry on the plane.
That's a trap.
So there is Seal Shield.
Don't worry.
Has you covered.
What does
the
it do?
Jumping out into the water.
Into the water.
Because the
iPad. Again, I want to understand the context of this picture. What is happening there?
Maybe he dropped his iPad into the ocean and he's jumping out to save
maybe
it.
He shouldn't be in the ocean with his iPad.
He's wearing a suit.
He's wearing a suit.
Well, wearing a jacket and a shirt.
I don't know what's going on there. It's very weird.
His hair is going all over the place.
It looks like his hair was styled.
Yes.
What else you got? Anything else good?
There's some great pet stuff here. Oh, here goes. The Diamond Jubilee Solar Queen and Corgi sold separately.
Yeah.
Corgis
are sold. Can we just get the Corgi?
You can get just the Corgi.
Just buy a solar-powered Corgi.
Chloe would really not like that. She already doesn't trust the solar-powered lights in the backyard.
It's only 2.5 inches high.
Yeah, I mean, it's very small. It's not like a life-size Corgi.
So it's like something that's like a garden gnome, but smaller.
Yeah.
2.5 inches high.
What I was
anyway.
Oh, so you know, you see the thing that I always see in there that I wonder about are those places for the dog to go to the bathroom inside the house.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
I assume they're for like apartment dwellers.
I guess,
but I can't imagine having that in my house.
Well, people have cat boxes. That's just a box of shit.
But the cat will go in there and dig and take care of it by itself. You'd have to stand there with the dog and be like, no, this is the spot. Go to the spot here. And then he's going to spray everywhere.
I don't know.
Seems like a bad idea.
You don't want dogs going.
Anyway, although I'm a big fan of the old Brooklyn lantern, and I'm telling you, it's going to come in handy on our
trip. Can you demonstrate it? On camera?
I don't have the.
It's not opened.
This one is still
boxed.
This
is new in box.
Oh, my
God. Mint. Okay, I'll read you the copy. Okay. Introducing the oldie Brooklyn lantern, the vintage-style lantern with new LED technology. Don't keep a bunch of old flashlights in a drawer, since they never work when you need them. I dispute that. They do occasionally.
I always have a flashlight.
Old Brooklyn lantern has 12 ultra-bright LED bulbs that provide a brighter, longer-lasting light that fills the whole room. Take yours home today. Stays cool to the touch. For home, patio,
because it might be
more.
A lantern. You might
durable
think it's fire.
Metal construction, shatterproof dome. What more could you possibly
want?
And
it takes 2D batteries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which are not included.
So can I point something out?
What?
The old Brooklyn lantern is super skeuomorphic. It's new technology designed to look like old technology.
But it's made to have old world charm. So it's a combination of the best things.
Why is the leather binder of your calendar app in iOS or OS 10 not charming like the old Brooklyn lantern? Oldie
because
Brooklyn lantern.
Because iCal sucks.
I don't know.
I feel like there's some hypocrisy here.
This is very handy.
You know what? It's patented.
Yes.
Patent pending.
No, patented.
Really?
Fully patented.
Patented.
Yeah.
I want to see the patent application for this.
So this is the first thing I've bought for a long time from I've seen on TV that I've actually not regretted. Because it's coming. It's very useful.
Do you still wear the Snuggie suit?
Yeah, in fact, I may bring that with me tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a bad idea.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got to be careful because you want to make sure you wear underpants under that.
Well, I always wear underpants. Most of the time, anyway.
Never nude, huh, Gary?
Oh, my God. The Apple Store in New York?
Oh,
is the line already mental? Oh, yeah, but that's the flagship store.
Those are the people that want to be on the news.
Yeah.
Norm, you've been testing the Microsoft Sculpt keyboard.
Yeah, it's weird. The space bar on that keyboard is split in two so that the left side of the space bar, you can turn it to a backspace key.
Which sounded a good idea to me when I first heard about it.
It does not disable the existing backspace key, and you can also disable it if you want. We all know that the current keyboard layout is inefficient. It was designed in a way, way back in old typewriters.
To actually slow you down.
Slow you down because the
keys would get jammed if you type too fast.
So it's a mechanical problem.
Right.
Now, because it's all digital, we're just accustomed to that layout. And people have designed keyboards with more efficient layouts, you know, the Dvorak keyboard and stuff like that.
Yeah, but none of that stuff ever caught on.
But some people do actually learn it.
I know people who type with the Dvorak keyboard.
Of course you do.
I don't think that a new keyboard layout, even having the backspace relocated to the left side of the space bar or left half of the space bar, even a minor change to that, I don't think is useful because if you get too accustomed to that, once you move off to another keyboard, you're screwed.
Right.
Right.
And theoretically, the idea of having a different layout is that it's more efficient, so you actually do use that more often.
Well, and the left side seems to intuitively make a lot of sense. Like the right side of the spacebar takes you forward, and the left side would take you back. So that seems to make sense, but it doesn't really work that way.
I think it's too late to innovate. I mean, the problem is that everybody has muscle memory for typing.
I think keyboards is one of those areas that's very, very hard to innovate because people are just so used to keyboards.
So the way people do innovate is actually just add more buttons around the existing QWERTY.
Right.
You know, numpad and lights and stuff, and then for gaming keyboards, that's
I mean, we all appreciate all volume buttons and things like that on our keyboards these days. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Media playback and stuff.
But leave QWERTY alone.
Yeah, you don't need to mess with that. And I don't even like those ergonomic.
I do like the
keyboards, the ones that are split. I could never get. Oh,
I love a good natural keyboard.
No, I never liked them.
I went to XOXO this weekend, which was the Hugs and Kisses Festival, apparently. I didn't know that that's what XOXO meant until Friday morning.
XOXO.
This was a Kickstarter, and it was put on by some dudes from Twitter and who've done startups and stuff over the years. But it was a really interesting group of, kind of the right kind of lunatics, that bought into this Kickstarter with basically no plan for the conference. And it was for content people who make stuff, basically. So it was artists and writers and singers. The Kleptones guy was there. And TV people and web people and all sorts of different people talking about
happening.
I mean, yeah, maybe that's weird, but it was people talking about how they figured out ways to make money doing things they love, which was well, and then Dan Harmon, and then Dan Harmon talking about money being the root of all evil and destroying all the things that he's loved. Dan Harmon's the community guy, if
right?
You don't know who has it seems like consistently been screwed over by the money people, but it was really good. There were a lot of people who had done like successful Kickstarter projects that were talking about the things, the lessons, basically lessons learned. Either funding or do you know figuring out how to fund and do their own projects.
Yeah,
like the Studio Neat people who make the Glyph and the Cosmonaut were there talking about turning a dumb idea into a product that lots of people bought. The James and Lissette who made Indie Game the Movie were there talking about you know the challenges of funding a movie on Kickstarter and the things that they learned and. The things that they learned moving from being, you know, basically commercial photographers, cinematographers, people who made TV commercials for a living and going into filmmaking. And then Adam wrapped up the weekend and talked about how he likes to just copy stuff. So whether, right. whether it's like an Indiana Jones hat or whatever. It was an interesting weekend. I'm going to write something else up. There's a gallery on the site with pictures from the event. There were a ton of people who've made products that we have looked at and either mocked or enjoyed or whatever. The Elevation Doc, talk to the Elevation Doc guys. If you remember, that was the first $1 million Kickstarter. It was that big aluminum block dock.
Oh, yeah.
I still think docks are kind of silly.
Apple will not be selling a dock with iPhone 5.
No dock with
yeah,
iPhone 5.
Yeah, the end 5. Of the dock. That's another interesting
thing. No bumper,
thing.
Too.
Oh, now, did we ever get to the bottom of the Lightning controversy of whether or not you can pass audio through it?
You cannot,
right?
No.
No, you can.
With the adapter.
Digital. The adapter does D to A conversion.
But people will be selling cables that just go straight.
There's no, you know, if there is a cable, it will have to have a DAC, a digital to audio
the
converter.
The adapter has a DAC inside.
So I'm going to have to buy that bloody
the $30
converter,
adapter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everything that uses an analog out.
Bastards.
Yeah, and that's straight from Apple PR. They responded finally.
Right. Right.
Well, okay. Just to be clear, the way Apple PR responds to a question isn't to say, no, we don't support this thing. They say, yes, the adapter will do analog out.
So right now, if you have a current car dock that has a 30-pin connector with the analog out,
that's what
you
I
can
have.
Buy the adapter. So yes. Plugging your phone to the Lightning to 30-pin.
You'll just plug
pin,
the adapter into the cable.
Just leave it in the, just leave it then, in the cable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just means there
people,
has to be electronics
but
in that
people
cable.
That make speaker docks and things like that must be scrambling
it
right
is,
now.
It has been a really, really bad couple of weeks for anybody that wasn't in the loop.
Because there are so many third-party businesses, case manufacturers, docks, cables, that basically their whole business is based around
oh, yeah.
Apple's products.
Yeah.
That when Apple makes a change, they have to respond.
Well,
quickly,
and again, quickly released, you know, they scrambled and now have 18 Apple iPhone 5 accessories.
Which who
that.
Is this?
Quirky.
Oh, really?
Does Apple – I know they do this with cases. They provide all the very specific dimensions. Does Apple provide like the schematics for Lightning so that
– No, you have to be an official Apple partner.
Right.
So there's a licensing process.
So if I'm like Bose
yeah.
and I'm now
– You're a licensed partner, so right, they so probably knew in advance.
Right. So I'm thinking my next docs I have to be Lightning compatible.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is there's a challenge because you have to be both Lightning compatible and old dock compatible.
So two SKUs.
So
right. Inventory problems.
So then here's the other challenge.
No, you just have one that has both sets of ports.
Or you have USB expensive. Devices that you plug a cable in and then it just works itself out.
Yeah.
The other huge challenge is the installed base for dock connectors. If you look at hotel rooms, every mid-range and up hotel room in the country has an iPod dock alarm in it almost.
Right.
The first place I've seen this was in a Kimpton or something a few weeks ago where they actually had, instead of an iPod dock, they just had a block that had two power, like normal three-pin AC power plugs
right.
plus two USB ports.
Yeah, it's become quite ubiquitous.
So they didn't have the dock.
And of course, you could take that adapter with you, but if it's like a dock where your phone sticks out of it, sitting on the, with an additional
it's
adapter,
it's going to double dangle
be
and
very
be real
wobbly.
Scary.
Yeah,
not
I don't
good.
Think that's great.
So
Apple has definitely kind of put the cat amongst the pigeons with this one.
People also bitch about a USB, mini USB. There is a Lightning to micro USB adapter.
Well, there has to be for the EU.
For EU.
Yeah.
Only power and syncing.
Right.
Yeah.
What else?
So, yeah, the Elevation Dock people were there. The Tintype Gypsy, which we talked to the guy at Photo Booth SF, the other person doing tintypes in the country that I'm aware of. is a woman named Megan something. I can't remember her last name. But she drives around, she has a trailer that she's made into a dark room, and she drives around taking like landscape shots of with tintypes, which is brilliant. Which I thought was super cool. Bree was there with MakerBot. He was demoing the old replicator for people there who'd never seen that. And watching people see a 3D printer work for the first time, I know you think that they just make little plastic things at this point, Gary, and you're kind of cynical and used up about it. But watching people watch that is fascinating. Because they're like, what is it doing? Oh, it's making something. And then, oh, it's a printer. Okay, I understand what a printer is. And then they kind of sit there and watch it for a minute, and it goes up a layer, and the thing gets taller. And they're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. So that was cool. What else? Cards Against Humanity was there. They brought an alligator.
Oh, yeah, I saw you petting an alligator.
I had an alligator on my lap. Alligators are cold. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, they're cold-blooded.
But cold-blooded and cold are two different things. The alligator on my lap was chilly. It's like air conditioning for your lap. It smelled like a purse or a wallet or something.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other cool designing stuff. So yeah, that was what I did this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Cool.
Played a lot of The Resistance.
What's that?
It's a board game. We'll play it. I'll bring it to the line tonight.
All right.
We can talk about it next week.
Okay.
And you got a mini fridge in your office, I heard.
I've tested a bunch of things this week. I bought a mini fridge for my office, which is great because before I didn't have to leave my house. Now I don't even have to leave my office. When I'm working, occasionally I would have to trudge downstairs to get a soda or something. Now it's just right under my desk. Brilliant.
So you just restock it once a week?
Yeah, just
supply chain and work.
Keep it stocked. It's got all my favorite treats in there.
You're the Tim Cook of San Francisco.
Why? What does he do?
Of your house?
He's a supply chain guy.
Oh, yeah.
What does he do?
I figured out my supply chain.
Yeah.
No, I know what that's going to be. It relates to having a fridge under my desk.
Well, it does because you've brought the goods closer to you.
I have simplified this.
You make
the
one trip
chain.
Once a week rather than trips
you
multiple
in,
trips a day.
In a capital investment. You bought a new store. Basically.
Yeah, so I've been dreaming of a mini fridge for a long time. The next thing is to get a little coffee maker in my office because then I can keep
That's
the cream and everything in there.
It's a good idea.
Although now I may not put cream in my coffee anymore. You've turned me around now.
I'm happy that I've been able to finally help you with coffee some.
Coming around to the idea of black coffee. So mini fridge was good. I also tested a new video card with Norm's help.
Okay.
I acquired and installed a vastly superior upgrade from my old video card.
Okay.
I had a perfectly decent one in there already. I had an AMD 5870, which is a perfectly good card.
Yeah.
But Norm, you know what PC users are like? They're constantly like, oh, more power.
Yeah, you didn't need the update.
But I wanted it, and you had it. You had a spare 7970. I thought, I'll take it. So Norm came over and I installed it.
Why would you not do that?
We did a little test. We ran benchmarks in Arkham City to see what the old and new, how the new, an old card compared.
How much faster is the new card?
So this is running at 1920 by 1200, which is a decent, you know, resolution.
Entirely respectable.
Not super high, but decent on a 24-inch screen. And in the benchmark, I think it maxed out at around 70-something frames per second. With the new card, 120 frames a second. So that is badass.
It's pretty good.
That is almost double the performance. And I've been playing. I tell you, I really haven't been.
Does it feel faster when you're actually playing games now?
No, nope. it's just like you can never break it. Like no matter what you do, you can't ever slow the game down. Jack up all the settings. You can like whiz the mouse around really fast, and it just handles it.
So your urge to buy a choo-choo train styled PC case is fading now.
Yeah, so I don't need any of these crazy mods. I'm perfectly happy. The machine I've got now is totally capable of.
You
running
do realize that the mods don't make the computer
speed.
Faster?
No, they just make you. It's just cool.
Okay. It's like Racing Stripes.
So I've been playing a lot of PC games, which I haven't been doing in a while, but I've really been enjoying myself. Let's see, what have I been playing?
You played FTL?
Yes, I've been playing FTL.
I like FTL.
Yeah, it's great.
Reminds me of Begin. Did you ever play Begin back in the old days?
Not something you would use to showcase a video card, but still very nice.
It runs like 120 frames a second at 1024 by 768.
Really fun game. I played Spec Ops The Line.
Ah.
Which I enjoyed.
Have you gotten to the part that everybody talks about in that game yet?
I finished it.
Yeah.
So what part are they talking about?
The real fucked up bit in the middle.
Oh, the part with the phosphorus?
With the white phosphorus,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is really specific.
Yeah.
Do people's face get burned off or something?
It's
I don't want to talk about
it. It's like one of those modern warfare type games, except it goes to much, 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 much darker territory than
really?
That.
What Homeworld tried to do?
I wanna hear.
You should play it.
Well, we can't really do spoilers.
It's pretty new. I don't want to spoil it.
Children.
I'll tell you about it after.
We can talk about it at lunch.
All right.
But it is horrible.
Okay.
Like, it goes to very dark.
It's
And it's actually got choice mechanics in it. Like, you know, you can make
Well, there's no real choice there, but...
Well, no, but there are areas where you can choose to do things differently.
Okay.
So I thought it was interesting, and I enjoyed it.
It's what Homeland... Homefront. It's what Homefront tried
home
to do
world,
with, like...
Yeah, Homefront tried.
But Homefront was really just a generic shooter with an interesting premise. But Spec Ops is really different to any other kind of modern
I quite
war
enjoyed
type
it.
Game
it's
I've
not
played.
Perfect, but it's pretty good.
No, I enjoyed it. What's that?
How long is the game?
Not
6 hours, maybe.
Yeah, I blasted through it.
Okay.
Borderlands 2, we played a bunch of that in four-player co-op the other night. I enjoyed that.
It started
It's not
real
really
slow.
My cup of tea, but I can see how why people really like it.
So the thing about that game is it's hard to play with four players because there's constant – like there's no time to stop and kind of look at stuff as you pick it up and think,
right.
Oh, should I do this upgrade or should I use this gun or what should – you know.
And there's so much to do. You're constantly looking at should I upgrade this and that. I mean, it's great. I've never actually seen that kind of – game before the kind of hybrid
first person Diablo
well the
first
way, person RPG
the way a lot of people
play really interesting
Borderlands 1 was that people play their own single player games and their friends who are either high or low level jumped in but really didn't interfere help you out in the combat but let you enjoy the single player
but
story and campaign
if,
on your own
if you were playing the first game with somebody that was dramatically higher or lower level than you
then it was up to them
you,
to
like,
stay back
yeah I mean you were a tourist basically
it's an incredibly It's easy to see that it's an incredibly well-built, well-made game. It's really beautifully polished. It's got incredible character, great voice acting. There's so much to do and really dive into, like upgrading your character, upgrading weapons, doing different quests. You can go in different directions. It's a huge, hugely
It's unabashedly silly,
game.
Too, which
yes,
is nice.
Yes, and it has a great sense of humor, great personality. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
I did enjoy playing with you guys.
We had a bad run last night, that night too. I think you should play a little bit more if you're interested in it all.
I might continue. I might pick up where we were, do a bit more single player.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you need to play like 3 or 4 hours of single player with that, and then jump in with other people.
But there's a bunch of other stuff I want to play as well. God, I've installed so much stuff lately. I need to figure out what I'm even going to play next. But I've got a bunch of other things I want to play.
Have you played Super Hexagon?
No, I heard it's good.
It's real good. You should buy it on iOS. It's like 99 cents.
Okay.
It's the kind of game that you just keep doing over and over again until you have a good run.
I installed Max Payne 3, but I don't know if I want to play that or not.
It's okay. I thought it was. It's not a Max Payne game, but it's good.
All right, I'll check that out.
Yeah, you can't.
And I've got some other things as well. I still haven't even touched Skyrim. I'm afraid of it.
That's probably the right answer.
Yeah,
well, you're gonna dive into Pandaria.
Are you gonna play that?
Oh yeah, I'm going back in.
How are you gonna do that with a kid?
I'll find a way. What the baby now is on kind of a fairly predictable sleep schedule that once you get her down at around 8 o'clock and she's asleep, she's out for the night.
Till 4.
Yeah, until 4 or 5 in the morning. So then in the late evening, we can actually play games or watch movies or whatever.
Okay.
So it's becoming a bit more organized.
Okay, I can see that.
That's how I've been able to play these games recently. And I'm excited about Pandaria. I've got a collector's edition coming and I'm going to make a panda monk and level that. I haven't played Warcraft in ages. I'm looking forward to it.
The last time I played Warcraft was Burning Crusade time, I think. And
yeah, I got Cataclysm and never really played it. So
yeah.
I never did any of the level 70 content. And I kind of feel like going back, I never really enjoy leveling new characters because I feel like I'm doing all the quests and missions and things I've done before. But because I haven't played Cataclysm, the world has been pretty fundamentally remade.
Yeah, I kind of...
I feel like even the act of leveling a new character from one up is going to feel different.
I kind of wouldn't mind going back and revisiting.
And they always
have
those brilliant starting zones for the new races as well.
And just the kind of sense of... the thing that they do better than anybody else is the world-building aspect, where you kind of go around and there's so much to discover.
Yeah.
Just even like silly stuff that shows up on flight paths and stuff like that.
And I got a couple of nice little bite-sized games that are fun to pick up for 10 minutes. Like Rock Band Blitz is great.
It's fantastic.
I picked up the Plants vs. Zombies table for Zen Pinball 2, which is really
fun. Is that
fun.
Out on Xbox yet, or is it only PS3 so
it's on
far?
It's on Xbox Live.
Okay.
So that's fun as well. I'm more than anything, really feel like I'm getting really enjoying PC gaming again, more than I have in a long time. And I think it's because I put it back on my desk.
Oh, you think it's not in the living room anymore?
Well, again, I love Steam Big Picture Mode. That was really cool. And I love the idea of playing games on a massive screen. With a joypad, it's great. But for those many games, like I can't ever imagine playing SimCity like that in my armchair. Mm-hmm. I still like that old
keyboard mouse isn't
lean
good
forward at my
in
desk
the living
experience.
Room. Yeah.
I'm really excited about SimCity.
I cannot wait for SimCity.
When do we know when that's coming out?
I think it's November.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over that shit. SimCity, man.
Yeah.
That feeling that you get when you start a new city and you start just putting down the first few little bits and pieces and your city could
so
be
much
anything.
Control.
Did I ever tell you the story about when they were bringing around SimCity 4 to demo the first time, and like it was the release tour, so they were bringing it and they were dropping off code for us.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the little demo room at the old office. And yeah, remember that? You used to get a disc.
Yep.
I sit in the little demo room, and this was when we were at Max PC still. And I'm there, and it's like Will Wright and some Maxis people, and I can't remember which of the PR. It was one of the Maxis PR people that's always at Maxis. Anyway, we're going through the whole demo, and I said, oh my God, I can't wait to go home. I'm just going to play this all weekend long. I'm going to go nuts. And he's like, yeah, that's what we were thinking about. When we spent the last 4 years making this game, was so that you could go home and have one really good weekend with it, and then
never play it again.
Yeah, and then never played it.
Oh, no, SimCity has
no, you keep coming back to it. I play it all the time. I love it. I mean, I still play 4. I love those games.
I can't remember the last one that I really played, but it was whatever the first one that was like fully isometric. That was the one that I really...
2000?
Yeah, it might have been SimCity 2000. Wow. So I haven't played one in a long time. And this new one obviously looks amazing.
4
so
was great, but this one, the fact that you can connect all the stuff to this one, it seems like it's going to be really exciting. So
you know, I always said I would get into Knights of the Old Republic, and I never did. And it seems like I'm not really missing that much.
You never played KOTOR?
No, I mean the MMO. Sounds like I wasn't really missing much.
Yeah,
it sounds like
uninformed speculation. I didn't play it.
It sounds like it's struggling.
The doctors left.
The doctors
have left
the building. Yeah,
yeah.
There's no longer a doctor in the house.
No.
So I don't know.
Somebody
and
had
now
their
that
apple
Pandaria is coming back. I think I'm just going to get sucked back into that.
I've kind of been looking at Guild Wars. I've been interested in that whole thing.
No, really?
I mean, it's the part of the MMO that I like, the combat-y stuff without all the other nonsense.
The thing is, I always need context, and like the universe, whatever the fiction is, it just doesn't seem interesting.
I just don't want to play any game that has a grind. I'm tired of grinding.
They all have them though.
I don't have time for grinding is the
Borderlands
problem.
It's all grind.
That was the most disappointing. That was the most disappointing thing for me. I was so ready to get into the Old Republic when I heard that it was BioWare and Star Wars. I'm like, okay, this is going to be the MMO to finally take the crown from Warcraft. And then I saw the first build of it at PAX or E3 or whatever. It was like, hello there, young Padawan. Go over there and hit 10 womp rats on the head, and I will give you a slightly better cloak. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Played this already.
I mean, this is the thing that I don't understand. I don't understand. The problem with MMOs is that when I play a game, I want to feel like the biggest badass in the whole wide world. And you're never going to get that with MMOs because there's always some 14-year-old that's locked up in his basement all the time just playing the game 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
I want instanced... I want instance persistent worlds that I can have on just with my friends, so that instead of being like the biggest badass in the world, it's like Thor and his posse from the Marvel movies. Like he has a whole team of dudes that go around and beat Frost Giant ass when they want to have fun. That's what I want in a video game, and I want that world to always be on so I can just log on, play some single player
if
I want.
Yeah, but then you're going to have a fight about like who gets to be Thor and who has to be the Asian dude.
Dude, that is one way to look at it. I don't think you'd make it a Thor game. I think you'd just be generic badasses.
No, I like the idea. I think Thor and his buddies going
Thor
out on Saturday
and
night
pals.
To fight Frost
Giants. Games who do that.
Yeah, maybe. There's got to be games like that, surely.
There's no persistent multiplayer stuff that is like...
I
would run a small scale. Like Freelancer was like this. You could run a Freelancer server. Everybody could join in. Everybody could drop out.
Yep.
And you could go do shit together if you wanted. The place that game broke down was that it was all single player-y stuff and there was no kind of higher level hard stuff
I've kind of looked at EVE Online over the years because I don't know if this is... I'm very scared of EVE Online.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
But I really would like a good MMO that's like a really great space exploration, galaxy, space trading, mercenary, elite type game.
You'd have to secede your life in order to
I'm totally willing to play EVE
Online. Okay, well, there you go. You invest some kroner.
I can't really do that. But no, EVE Online looks really scary to me. It's one of those games that just seems like it has a very high
I love the idea that EVE is out there. Somebody said that to me once, and that's exactly it.
Like, yeah, never I love that it exists.
Like, I would watch the nightly news for the world of EVE Online. If there was a video show that I could log in every night and see what happened in EVE that day,
dude from the
I would totally watch that.
EVE Online.
Who?
One of the dudes from the embassy.
Oh, from the Libyan embassy?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was the EVE guy.
Oh, the something awful guy?
I don't know if it was something awful.
It was on anyway. Okay, let's take some questions.
Emails?
Well, but we do the other one.
Emails?
We don't do emails. We do
emails.
No.
Questions.
Boom. Here is our first question. I didn't screen it, so I apologize in advance if it's bad.
Hello, tested men. Jeff Grubb here, and I've got a question. But first, hometown trivia. I went to high school in Westerville, Ohio, which is the nation's self-proclaimed prohibition capital.
In 1875, a man tried to open a saloon in the middle of town, but someone set off a keg of gunpowder inside the bar, which blew off its roof. Turns out this wasn't a political protest, but a local college student was sick of his roommate returning to the dorms all wasted, so he set off the explosive. Anyway, my question. We all learned in Contact that TV signals from Earth have been reaching out into space for decades now, but what about the Internet? How much of the Internet is escaping out into space? Are there similar radio signals carrying cat videos and iPhone rumors off into distant stars?
I don't think so.
No, it's digital versus analog.
Well, it's not even that. It's that it's the Internet's mostly on wires.
That too, but I mean, if you talk about like, you know, satellite sending signals, yeah, broadcast is different. Broadcast and networks.
Broadcast is just specific frequencies.
I don't think so, because I think if the Internet was being broadcast out into space, we would have been destroyed by some alien race by now that would have seen nature of
our footprint in space is so small.
Yeah, it's a tiny
even
little
radio
sphere.
Signals for TV.
But the point I'm making is if aliens were to judge our culture based on what is on Internet, they would write us off as despicable and marked for destruction immediately.
But how many stars are in a 15 light year circle?
Oh,
sphere
let's not get into this.
It's
two.
Not,
the answer is two.
Well, no, there's at least three.
I did think, the answer is three. Since you guys like to talk about highfalutin science stuff these days, I did find it very interesting that NASA is actually working on warp drive.
That's a CNN headline.
Yeah, that story isn't true. I mean, it's true,
they are investigating, but it we are not having starships anytime.
If you read
I'm not expecting this to happen anytime soon, but somewhere in a cubicle at NASA, there is a guy working on this.
Of course. Somewhere there's a guy with the Lost Ark of the Covenant in a warehouse, you know, all that stuff
and
is true.
And that's cool also.
The warp drive story we didn't talk about. I left it out intentionally, but the revolution there is that the theoretical energy requirement to make the warp drive work has gone from a mass the size of Jupiter converted to energy using Einstein's famous relativity equation to a mass the size of a small asteroid converted to energy, which is still – by our standards, kind of an infinite amount of energy.
But what's interesting about it to me is that it's not – they're not just calling it warp drive because that's what people know from Star Trek. It's not just some other form of faster than light travel. It is actually the exact kind of warp drive they have in Star Trek.
Well,
where
Star Trek
you,
warp drive, where you, warp
you contract
space.
The space in front of you and expand the space behind you. Yeah. So that's very cool.
Warps the fabric
of space.
You create
a warp bubble.
Yes. Well, no.
A warp field.
It's like a warp tractor. It's like you're using space as a conveyor belt.
You're pulling the space in front of you closer to you and pushing the stuff behind
pooping
you farther away. So that it's great. I love it.
It's very cool.
Maybe we can actually go to other universes and stuff.
Solar systems.
Other galaxies. Yeah, no,
maybe.
Not other galaxies.
Galaxies are very far away.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mars.
Mars, let's aim small, man.
Well, Richard Branson...
he wants colonies.
He wants to go to Mars.
Yeah.
I just hope that a ticket to Mars doesn't cost as much as a fucking ticket on one of his trains in England. Holy shit.
How much are those?
A train fare from London to Manchester.
Okay, which is how much the distance?
It's probably about 350 miles.
Drive from
like
SF to LA.
Yes. Is about $500.
Oh, jeez.
Fuck me!
You could fly to New York for cheaper.
Yeah, you can. Round trip?
Yes.
Thanks, socialized airfare.
Yeah, exactly.
One more question? Hold on. So did we get a definitive answer? The Internet is not really being piped out.
No. We don't have to worry about that.
No.
Because the only reason the TV stuff got piped out is because it's being broadcast at specific frequencies.
Into the air.
It's in light. It's in waves.
No, it's not in light. It's in radio waves, which are a form of light. Yeah. But it doesn't bounce off the ionosphere is the upshot. The Internet, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
On tubes. All tubes. Next question is called Memo.
Hey, Tesla.
Actually, never mind. It's a minute, 30 seconds. I'm not going to play
too
it.
Too long.
Sorry, dude.
You blew it.
psych. That'll do it for questions. If you have a question for This Is Only a Test, keep it short, under 45 seconds. You put it in a format we can read, no WMA files, and make sure you don't sound like you're being drugged behind a bus. And I guess that'll do it for us this week. For Norman Chan, do we have anything to plug?
Congratulations to all 22 people who mailed letters in. You all got self-addressed.
You haven't sent them out yet.
You will get three stickers. The address, if you want also to get stickers.
Should we put this at the end of fake outtakes?
No, put them here because people who scroll to the very end.
Uh-huh. They'll get screwed. That's a good point. Okay.
Mail to tested-sticker, 790 Brannan Street, second floor. That's very important, second floor, in San Francisco, California, 94103. Every sticker you throw in, you will get one sticker in return.
Until supplies run out.
Supplies are limited.
You know you can go to Walgreens and buy shit like 50 stickers.
Yeah, they have to be good stickers.
Okay. All right. I'll judge them on podcast.
Artisan stickers.
Mm. Okay.
They have to be something Norm would want to stick on his MacBook.
Yeah. Romney Ryan, 2012.
Perfect. And today's outro comes to us from Big Bad Ron. Gary, anything to plug before I play the outro?
No, not this week, but, you know, soon.
Okay, good to know. After Earth in theaters, June 7th, 2013.
June 7th, starring you.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I met a guy named Patrick Ewing this weekend and another guy named Chris Martin. We had a lot to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Saddest birthday party ever.
Timmy.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
That's it.
Wait for it. Wait for it. And we're done. I don't have any idea what that one was from. We thought about making a Space Jam remake with Chris Martin doing the music and Patrick Ewing and I taking the, you know, the roles of the
Patrick the Looney Tunes. And
well, Patrick Ewing was in Space Jam, the first one.
Will Smith was not.
No, but there were actors in the first one playing.
Like Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, right. So I could play the Bill Murray role.
Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight was in there? I guess he was. He was the bad guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen Space Jam when I think about it.
Goodness.
I've seen Space Jam.
Really? Is it good?
Yeah. For what it is.
What else would you put in the good for what it is?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to see Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny and the Looney Tunes characters playing basketball against
Space Jam? I've never wanted anything more than that.
Then this is the movie for you.
They introduce a sexy bunny. There's to be a love interest for Bugs Bunny.
There was always a lady bunny.
No, there was
not. No, but this one's a real knockout.
Real sexy bunny?
Yeah.
She talk?
Yes. I think so. Yes. And who's also play basketball? I do not know.
I'm going to have to investigate this.
I think it was Michael Jordan's right after his baseball career ended.
But I think it was before his baseball career,
because in the end of the movie, he goes back to playing basketball. It's a return.
Well, they make fun in the movie of the fact that he's crap at baseball.
Exactly.
So, it's kind of in the middle of that.
So I saw Michael Jordan play baseball.
Did you?
Yes. He stole a base.
Oh, that's something.
It's a pretty good game for him.
It's more than you could have done.
He was real tall. Yeah. That was the other weird thing about him playing baseball, is he was about a foot taller than everybody else that was out there playing baseball.
Because basketball players tend to be taller because the hoop's really high.
It just what does that say, that a dude can be the single greatest basketball player of all time? And he's like, you know, I really wanted to play baseball.
It happens.
There are athletes that are, you know, double and triple threats. They succeed in multiple sports.
Bo.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Deion Sanders. Or
yeah.
What did Deion Sanders play?
Football and baseball.
Oh, he played baseball as well?
Yeah.
I did not know that. And now he's in TV commercials with Peyton Manning's little brother.
Eli?
Eli.
The other one.
Eli.
No, Eli has a Super Bowl ring.
I know he has a Super Bowl ring. Yes.
Two years ago. Also, he's not broken.
He beat the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who hasn't?
Well, almost.
Bless you. Should we talk about camping?
If we must.
Sure.
This is shame.
So tonight.
This is also, I can switch to Verizon. I want you people to know that.
But why not just wait 3 weeks and switch to Verizon when you can just walk into a store?
Well, I haven't thought about that.
That is a serious question I've asked myself.
So if it weren't for, and also pay less to switch because it's prorated.
Less is switching to Verizon.
I mean, the amazing thing.
Is he getting an iPhone too?
Have you seen all these stories?
Order online midnight.
Have you seen all these stories people
Wes is dropping Android? Really?
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard to keep somebody on staff that will write about Android shit.
No.
Thank you, Ryan Whitwam.
Yeah.
Have you seen all these stories about people that are switching to Verizon because AT&T, it's actually cheaper to pay the early termination
fee? I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
It's $213 as of like 2 weeks ago for me to pay the early term versus paying $250 to get the mid-cycle upgrade.
Yeah. And the various upgrade fees that they throw on just to fuck you.
Now, that'll hit me next year because Verizon doesn't do the mid-cycle upgrades.
No, they don't. And that's another problem for me is because I am mid-cycle upgrade.
So
I'm getting hosed on the price for this phone.
$700?
Well, I don't even want to talk about it. But that's one of the reasons why I'm like, do I really need this one? And again, I wish... Because the S is kind of the one I think you should skip.
So are you going to skip the S next time?
Well, I would need to see what's in it.
NFC.
But in retrospect, I should have skipped the S and be getting the 4S and getting the super price
on
the 5.
For me, the only reason I'm not waiting 3 weeks is that when we're in New York next week, and we have a once a year opportunity to go to New York and test phones there and see what everybody bitches about all the time, having a Verizon phone and an AT&T phone would actually be quite nice.
Yeah, so I'll have an AT&T phone.
Yeah. Right.
You're sticking with AT&T.
Unlimited data.
Yeah, five gigs.
Yes. 5 gigs.
Five gigs
for $90 a month with, you know, my I don't need unlimited text. I have 1,000, 1,500
texts. When you accidentally wander into one of the few places in the country that actually has AT&T LTE coverage, you'll be great.
I have a Verizon iPad.
Okay.
So I have LTE on that.
All right.
And tethering.
Good talk.
Good stuff. So what's our strategy, Will? We will be going to a non-disclosed Bay Area location.
It's the same one we always go to, just to be clear.
Yeah, we don't want to give it away because I don't want people coming by to troll us with their Samsung Galaxies bumping phones and making us feel inferior. What's okay, up?
I might stop by with treats.
We're just sharing our playlist. Bump.
I might stop by tonight with treats.
Ooh, I like treats. Ooh,
I bought treats yesterday.
What kind of treats?
Well,
Scooby snacks?
Surprise us.
Yeah,
you know what I like.
Everything.
I don't know. I got some really good treats yesterday.
Very excited about this.
Okay, this is interesting. I have a lawn chair. I have like a sports chair.
I also bought a lawn chair.
Mine is not a camping chair. Mine is like a Tennessee football tailgating chair.
By the way, when I went to Big Five to buy my lawn chair, I was fascinated by
let's be clear. What? You knew after Friday where you woke up at 4 a.m. where you could not buy online.
Yes.
Your pre-order your iPhone.
My mind went into camping planning mode.
And the next day, literally Saturday, you went to Big Five and bought a lawn chair.
Well, let me clarify. I was at a location where I happened to see a Big Five and thought, oh, while I'm here, maybe I could pick up a chair that might make my camping experience a lot more pleasurable.
All right.
And I got to say, I was fascinated.
How nice is a lawn chair?
It's kind of shitty. It's a cheap one. It was only
$10. Oh, okay.
It's one of those foldy ones.
Yeah.
But it's better than sitting on the floor.
No one's sitting on the floor.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. No. You got to have some preparation.
Can the chair fold out to sleep on?
I don't think so. I think they had one that did that, but it was more money than I wanted to spend.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to get much use out of it. But by the by, when I was at Big Five, I was fascinated by all the guns.
They sell guns at Big Five?
Oh, yes, they do.
Real guns or rifles?
They had a whole rack of shotguns.
Shotguns.
And then they had things like H&K MP5s and things, but they're just like 22 versions of
MP5s?
Yeah, but they were just 22s. Oh, so they weren't like full-on like 9mm.
That's, you know, police will count it as an automatic weapon.
As I was buying the chair, I said to the guy behind the counter that was ringing me up, I'm just curious, if I wanted to buy a shotgun, like a full-on, like 12-gauge Mossberg,
is in San Francisco or outside the city?
This was outside the city.
Okay, because there's no gun shops in San Francisco.
I believe that's true.
Yeah.
So I said, what's the licensing requirement? He said, there is no licensing requirement.
Well, it's not an automatic weapon or assault weapon. You don't have to...
A shotgun.
Exactly.
For a handgun or whatever, it's different. But for a shotgun, he said, all you do is give me your ID, fill out a form here in the store, and there's an 11-day period, which I guess is both like a cooling-off period and a background check.
Cooling-off period, because I need to get something right now.
I got something I need. Why are you buying a gun? You shouldn't buy a
generally
gun,
Gary. Speaking, if you need
that raccoon, it can't stay in my garbage can for 11 days.
I think
days.
All things being equal, if you're in any position where you need a shotgun right this minute, it's probably best that you don't have it right this minute.
Why are you buying guns, Gary?
I wasn't buying one. I was just in the Big Five buying a lawn chair. And I was curious why
I was
looking at all the guns. And the guy was telling me that you don't need a license to own a shotgun. You just fill out a form.
Yeah.
And once they've discovered that you're not a crazy person or a felon.
Mm-hmm. And you've had time to cool off and think about it.
And had time to calm down and realize that guy at the Genius Bar didn't treat
really
you that badly after all.
What you really need is to max those neutrinos out and anticipate when you're going to get into a fit of anger and when you're going to need, and then go 11 days earlier.
Yes. And so...
Or just buy one now so that when you're ready, angry, you're ready.
Yeah. And so, I could have bought I could have one by now, but I decided against
it. How do they
look? I just bought the lawn chair.
So I could have bought the shotgun. But
I could have bought the shotgun and the lawn chair and guaranteed myself an iPhone no matter what.
I think that would be frowned upon.
It probably would be.
What are the rules for carrying around a shotgun?
As long as it's in the open display, you can do it wherever you want, as long as it says no
unloaded,
guns allowed.
Unloaded and
I assume,
open display?
No, it doesn't. I didn't say unloaded.
You can have a loaded shotgun walk around San Francisco?
No.
I think
I'm
that
pretty
would be frowned
sure
upon.
You cannot do that.
Well, you can, but you know the 5-0 is going to hassle you. Because you know what? They don't like people walking around with loaded shotguns.
Or guns, period.
It's supposed to be America, man.
Not San Francisco.
That's so terrifying.
San Francisco's not really America.
We have a specific set of rules about firearms here. I didn't bring guns with me when I moved to California.
So I bought the lawn chair, and it was $15 on sale. I could have paid two extra dollars and got one that was Stars and Stripes.
Why did you not do that?
I would have sponsored. I feel stupid about it now. Because what is more American than sitting up all night to pay for a luxury consumer good?
My lawn chair has a gigantic University of Tennessee logo on the back.
Oh, see, I wish I'd have got the American
one. And it's
one
like
now.
Extra wide too, and padded.
But,
and I have cup holders on both sides.
Look, people think we're idiots for doing this, and maybe
is it a nylon
we
chair?
We are idiots.
It's the kind of chair that, like,
I actually enjoy it. The campouts that I've done in the past, I've enjoyed doing. I've actually enjoyed the experience.
What flavor Kool-Aid are you bringing, Gary?
Well, listen, I'm bringing a cooler, and I'll have things in it.
Ooh,
I'm going to have my lawn chair. You have a lawn chair. Yep. You have sleeping bags as well, you said, right?
I think I can probably swing a sleeping bag for you if assuming I go home between now and when I get
the best thing to do, because your lawn chair does not fold all the way back, is lean in the lawn chair, put the cooler under your feet, but you're in the sleeping bag the whole time.
Oh, that could be good. Or maybe I'll just bring my Snuggie.
No.
Snuggie's not going to be enough.
Not breathable. Mm. Snuggie is like the insulate. You need a good thermal.
No, Snuggie is just a fleece blanket.
No, I'll just be warmly dressed. That's fine.
I can bring a tarpaulian if you want.
So I thought about bringing all, well, this is what I'm very glad about. I thought about bringing all my gadgets, but I'm like, how do you get empowered all through the night? But you have this thing, which is going to be the answer to all our problems.
This is the Goal Zero. It's about 20 pounds of lead acid battery. It's a car battery. I used it to charge to run the third person camera at Maker Faire.
Yeah.
And it should be enough to keep us going through
the night. So this will keep all our iPads and MiFis and everything going.
But I was telling you, Gary, you're not going to be awake the entire night. You're going to sleep for 4 or 5 hours.
Well, I'm afraid to sleep.
When I've done overnight campouts before, I never slept.
What if I get shivved?
There are other people in line taking photos.
People could just pick you up.
Except they won't have iPhone 5, so low light photos will be terrible.
No, we must stay awake.
I'm afraid. Like, I'm going to go sit outside in the dark with a whole shitload of electronics on my person.
Here's the problem. We don't know how early we need to get there because we have not reconned this particular store. For all we know, there's 100 people in line already. I'm telling you, this one's going to be bad.
You don't want to be. You want to be in the first 30 people.
No, you want to be as close as possible, but like
the store opened at 8, but they take a long time to get people in.
Usually when the Apple people come out at like 8 in the morning and say, everyone past this point, sorry, you're not getting a phone. A few hundred people into the line. So
they haven't done that for the last 3 phones though. Like on iPhone 4 and 4S day, both they had phones for everyone that was in line.
Right. You used to wait a long time.
Right.
So what's the point in getting there super early?
The only point of this is they will sell out at some point during the day.
Yes.
And you want to make sure you get a phone.
And also I don't want to wait a real long time. What I think is a pretty popular SKU.
Yeah. They will run out of SKUs.
Because you don't want a white phone.
Now, we should talk about Scuffgate.
I don't call anything something gate. Please.
More Gary, reason to call that.
Gary Gate.
It was the choice, as you know, last year I agonized like a big wuss about the black versus white. I ordered black.
So much has changed.
Worried that I should have got white and then realized black was right after all. But I went through a very angsty period.
So much has changed. You're a new man.
This year, when I saw the black one, I'm like, oh, clearly it's black. Look at this thing. Clearly. It's so black. How much more black could this thing be? And the answer is none more black.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What are we doing? We're talking about the new.
What are we doing with our lives?
I mean, come on, we could be doing things that are really productive. We could be doing something. We could be like handing out food or something at like a homeless shelter.
Could be making art.
Instead, we choose to do this.
Think about all the productive stuff. I think we should wave off the whole thing.
You don't
and do what instead? Sleep.
Well, so Saturday night, I'm getting on a red eye to go to New York.
Perfect.
No.
Sleep on that. Sleep all day. Well, you can't sleep all day Friday.
No.
Pack for the office.
Right. I can't sleep all day Saturday either because I got to pack for myself and do laundry and shit. And I'm not going to be able to sleep all day Sunday because we have to walk around New York like hobos with our bags. So we don't have a place to put them until 2 o'clock. Mm. We get there at 7.
Are you doing it or not?
Will's going to do it. Don't worry about
it. If you don't do it, the whole thing falls apart.
Don't worry about it. He's going to do it.
You're going to do it.
He's going to do it.
But the thing is, we need
peer pressure.
We need intel. We need a recon of the store.
Well, it's a little too late.
We should go to the Los Gatos one and camp out with Woz. That would make it.
It's
cool.
Way too far.
Oh, I would have. See, I regret now.
When I went to the Los Gatos store, yes. I know. I said to you, do you want to come with me? Oh, I'm going to go meet Woz. And you're like, no, I can't do it. And you regretted it because
you
it was
can go
great.
Meet him this time.
God damn it!
You can go meet him this time.
Go this
dude.
Time. I'm sure he'll be there. Like,
he's there every time. I'm getting it mailed to me.
What?
But you can just go meet him.
Yeah, I already had the phone being mailed to me. I just went to meet Woz, and I was so glad that I did.
That's a trip. There's a pink bear in the city now.
Holy shit.
At least I get to go to Stone Sound Mall today. That place smells pretty good. I like the waffle cone smell. I think that's my fave smell. That's Adeptus.
This is how the situation has continued to devolve. Will originally said, I'm going to recce the store at midnight, and if there's not a line, we'll just go back at 4 a.m. Now we've started saying we should probably go there at midnight, and now we've started saying, well, maybe that's not early enough. Maybe we should go immediately after work. But come on, that's crazy.
That's the crazy part. Chevy's has closed its Stonestown location.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. No more tableside guacamole.
Stonestown Apple Store got me waiting hella long, says Tsunami.
Oh, are you?
I think he's probably trying to buy something now.
All right. So the undisclosed location.
We know someone works there.
Yeah, good job on that one.
We know Kenny.
Oh, we do know Kenny.
Kenny who works
at
Stonestown.
I know a bunch of
people
there actually now.
You tweet him right now.
Tweet him.
I bet Kenny. He's working there right now.
I'm sure he's not working tomorrow.
It's all hands.
Twitter. The problem is, unlike a regular Apple store, you can't just look out and see what the line looks like.
No,
the line
is
in a separate location outside.
Yeah, it's anyway. Outside the mall.
Right, so now we're going to get trolled by fucking...
Maybe we won't go to that one. Maybe we'll go to the other one instead.
That's the one to go to.
I can bleep it out, too.
The good parking lot. It's a good parking lot.
Plus, by the time this is posted, it'll be too late to go out.
Yeah.
Because this won't go up until like 6 o'clock tonight, probably at the earliest.
Yeah, so people only have 6 hours to respond. Yeah, you're right.
Fair enough.
For me, people like to laugh at people like me that will get in line for these phones. But
they sure do.
For me, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's something to do. It gets me out of the house.
I don't see Apple.
This is what my life
doing
has
a counter ad. We're showing the communities that form in their lines.
It's kind of a Portlandia
skit. We should try and get the whole line doing like Gangnam Style or something.
Oh my god! That's worse.
Why not?
Don't perpetuate that.
Why? Do you not like it?
I think it's way overplayed.
It's very popular.
Norm thinks everything's overplayed. Hey, Norm, what do you think about lolcats? Played or overplayed?
I like cats. I do not particularly need to see lolcats.
Norm was into K-pop before it became mainstream.
K-pop was so 4 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, I think we've said all we need to be said. We have power. We have gadgets.
Yeah.
What's this board game you want to play? See, we can make it. It's fun. It's like a camp out.
It requires 5 people, so we would have to make friends.
Can you pitch
a
tent?
We could roast marshmallows.
I cannot roast marshmallows.
We're going to get fire.
Yeah.
We have the old Brooklyn lantern.
No fire. Cool to the touch.
I can bring a blowtorch. I do have a blowtorch.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing can go wrong with this.
Let's make some s'mores.
We'll find ways to make fun. I'm going to bring tools. My Kindle and maybe
yeah,
read
I'm
a book.
A little, like I do. I'm a little worried about the going there with a bunch of shit and then like going to sleep and getting waking up.
And all
like,
your shit is gone.
Waking
well,
up.
That's going, why we have to do it in shifts.
What,
I'll take like, first
I'll
watch
Bears and then you. This is such a bad idea. Okay, I'm back in.
Yay!
Right, but
we do need to gather some intel and get some recon on when to go. Oh, I could bring my 3DS.
Yeah, we could. What's that thing called when you? I did that at PAX.
Street Pass.
That's all I did.
There
at PAX.
Like, who needs a
like
Galaxy
crazy.
3? That's just like NS3.
Did you not bring your 3DS to PAX?
No.
Oh, you missed a huge opportunity.
But I don't give a shit about Street Pass.
That's because you've never done it before.
Okay,
it's
we'll
like
try.
Touching someone
pretty
in real
awesome.
Life.
All right, we'll try it.
It's much better than bumping.
What games do we both have that we could play?
All I have is 3D Land and
Mario Kart.
I think
I have some games that will beam it over to you though.
Yeah, I think
so
you can beam Mario
play.
Kart over.
I'll bring over
Picto Chat.
I'll bring Tetris.
Tetris. That's a bad Tetris, but I'll play it.
Why don't we just bring our regular DSs and play games? That
I
we
put my regular
like.
DSs in a box in a in the garage.
All right.
Okay, we'll see you guys next week. And maybe we'll stream some stuff from the line.
Okay,
if we
hungry.
Feel real dumb. Yeah,
will,
I wasn't.
Will
pooing.
We see them next week?
What?
Oh, I think we probably aren't going to do a podcast next week, actually.
Are you not bringing podcast equipment to New York?
Depends on how many cameras we're
going to
bring.
What's going on in New York?
So we're going to New York for World Maker Faire. And we're going to visit some people. Joey, how many cameras are we bringing to New York? Just one? Okay, so I might bring podcast stuff to New York then. It's okay. Just real heavy because I got to bring the tripods. But we'll see you guys next week.
All right, very cool. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.